The following program is part of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You are tuned in to WTR Sunday Nights.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hello, this is hardcore legend Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio with the Triple Threat. Yeah!
This is WTR Sunday Night, the greatest wrestling talk show of all time. And you can take it to the bank, because I am Sid Vicious, the master and the ruler of the world.
Hey, this is Plexi Zary, Michael Shane,
John Walters, Chris Harris,
Johnny B. Bad, Ken Shamrock,
Steve Blackman,
Jerry Lynn.
You're tuned in to WTR Sunday Nights.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute.
This is Steve Blackman, Lethal Weapon.
I'm Ken Shamrock. This is Harry Smith.
Hey, everybody. This is Chip Gaines from TNA.
Hello, this is three-time WWE champion and hardcore legend Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
It's okay to prove yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah!
This is Wildcat Chris Harris.
This is Samoa Joe.
Hey, everybody. This is Chip Gaines.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Mick Foley.
Hey, everybody. It's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Hey, you got Terry Funk here.
This is the King of Old School, Steve Green.
This is Lance Storm.
This is Christopher Daniels.
Hey, that's the Flair Carl Ouellette.
This is Lance Hoy from TNA.
Hey, this is Bay of the Bull Buchanan.
Yo, what's up? It's your boy, John Cena.
Ken Shamrock on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Oh, wow.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Dave's not here.
Woohoo!
You don't hear me not complaining.
Who's the man?
Kenny.
It doesn't.
So with that being said, we have three simple words for ya. We're taking over.
This is former WWE superstar and ECW general manager Armando Alejandro Estrada.
You are tuned in to the one that innovated it all.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god!
The evolution of online sports entertainment is back.
The boss is back!
WrestleTalk Radio is back on the air. Join us as we follow all the news and views from the WWE, TNA, and the indie circuit.
I like your poetry.
I like what you do to babies.
And the Omega Man.
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want. I call the shots.
And now, get ready for WTR.
Politically incorrect.
I'm damn proud of it.
And you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome to the 2008 Year in Review edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. I am the Spud Guy, that is Omega, and as the intro says, we are indeed taking over. We kick Timmy Stein right on out of here, because his lazy ass doesn't want to do a show every week. Not that we want to do a show every week either, but more on that later in the program. We brought in a plethora of guest hosts, two of them actually. Put the word out on the street, and here we are for the Year in Review show.
That qualifies as a plethora now, too?
Well,
hello.
Yeah. We got DL Havoc and
hello,
Nick.
Hello.
G'day.
Of course.
How's everyone doing tonight?
Horrible.
Sorry to hear about that.
Oh, dude, it's raining here like crazy. Just how I like my women. It's really wet.
Yeah.
Oh. And we aren't even 3 minutes into the joke. We aren't even 3 minutes into the program and we already have our first dirty joke. Oh God.
Now who's the one talking about the rain?
Nick, the guy from Australia.
Nick's from Australia there.
Really? Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So how's the weather now? Ain't it summertime now in Australia?
No, it's actually cloudy in Bondi, believe it or not.
Okay.
But the good news is, I was a good kid this week, and I tracked down some indie tapes. from 2008, so I've come prepared. Don't worry.
You so track down just... what? It's so hard to understand you with that damn accent.
I like it.
I track down independent wrestling tapes, WEW, whatever I could get my hands on, pretty much.
Oh,
very
oh.
nice.
Okay, very nice. I appreciate the hard work. I've been formulating the plot to kill my boss, so I've been a little busy. So far, I'm having trouble finding a 200 gallon tank in hydrochloric acid.
What are you talking about doing, Spug? With hydrochloric acid?
That's just the body disposal, I think.
Yeah, that's just the body disposal. I haven't even gotten into how I'm going to kill her yet.
No. Here's what you do. You take someone else that you really don't like. You pick him up by the ankles and kill your boss with him. Then they both die and they can't find a murder weapon.
Wow. That's
a good idea.
Is this Cold Case Files or WTR?
No, I'm actually joking. I'm actually joking. I really don't want her dead.
I know.
I just want her to suffer in pain a lot.
You're crazy, man. What is wrong with you?
You're asking that now?
I got lied to, bold-faced, by the owner of my company and my boss. Let me explain this. All right, real quick.
I thought we were talking wrestling.
We are, but we spent the first...
When
do
we hold topic around here?
Dude, we spend like the first 5-10 minutes just BSing, and then we actually get into the topic. It's called an open. But anyway, so... Omega knows my current, and you too, DL, know my current situation with my boss. Her and I hate each other. She mouths off too much. She says I mouth off too much to her. Whatever. So she hasn't put me on the schedule for the past 2 weeks. Or when she's done, she's given me the shit hour. Like I get like 1 day a week, and she's given me like the shittiest hours. But I've dealt with it. I went up there Friday to pick up my paycheck, and the owner of my company's there, and she's working in the back. And she says, listen, you need to come in and talk to her. You need to come in, and you need to smooth this out. I need you. You have to work here. You are a fantastic driver. You know everything. She's like, if you could just calm yourself down for a little bit, you'd make an excellent manager. I'm like, okay, I'll come up here. This afternoon when she gets here, and I'll come talk to her. Well, I got there at 4:30. We spent 35 minutes arguing in the office. Ooh. The end result was, she goes, all right, I'll tell Lisa, put you back on the schedule for any days. I'm like, cool. Now, I had already volunteered to work New Year's Eve and New Year's Day this coming week. I also volunteered to work Christmas Eve, but I didn't get that day either. So I call up tonight to get my schedule, and the manager on duty goes, you're not on the schedule at all this week. I said, my name's not on the schedule, or I just don't have any hours. She goes, your name isn't on the schedule at all. In a, like, shocked voice, and I went, okay, I see how it is. I just got lied to, bold-faced.
That sucks.
Damn. Mm.
That's why I hate working in retail, and I hate working for restaurant people.
I'm sorry.
You can't take them out back and punch them in the face like you can with a lawn care company and settle it right there.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't, because I work with all women.
Well, they don't sound like women.
Estrogen-driven twat bags from time to time.
Oh.
And no, I don't apologize to anyone who was offended by that, because I really don't give a fuck.
Well, is everyone adding to their thesauruses at home?
What's that?
Is anyone adding to their thesauruses at home?
No.
See, I have to keep track of these things, because he'll make up some of the worst offenses. I got to remember that one.
I get some good ones, don't I? But anyway, now that I'm done with my little rant and I kind of feel better,
Does anybody want an update, by the way, since we're always off the board on the Chargers and Broncos?
I do.
24-6, San Diego.
God.
We love football here, mate. But
don't worry, Spug. I'm sure someone will buy you for a decent fandom someday.
Don't worry, Amy. There'll be more. There'll be more
Spug
rants
this late at night all the time.
There'll be rants, especially with the topics of tonight when I have to talk about John Cena.
What's wrong with John Cena? My children love John Cena.
Yeah, your children are part of the problem.
And there's a 30-year-old right now that loves Cena.
They're part of the problem, too.
Where is this moron? Not on my continent.
So how much wrestling...
Nobody's saying... Nobody's saying, Rao, that he's not a cool guy in person. The problem is that John Cena's status got elevated to the top of the wrestling world simply because he was cute and he sold merchandise. That's it.
Did
Dude
Shawn
can't
Michaels
wrestle.
Do the same thing?
Shawn Michaels can wrestle.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not talking wrestling. I'm talking merchandise-wise. You go with what sells.
That's fine, but you also have to have the persona and personality to back it up. And Austin can wrestle. Austin sold it. That's the thing. He didn't just sell, put out a new t-shirt and sell a t-shirt and walk out, say a couple of things and walk back into the back. When he had to wrestle, he wrestled. And every time he put on a show for the fans and they got their money's worth.
Yeah, but right now wrestling is at a point where
it's just been downhill for the last 10 years. I'm saying it now.
I agree. Is it Nick, right?
Yeah, Nick. Yep. Nick is the Aussie, dude. You can't... Okay. Right, three Americans, one Aussie.
Shut it up, Spug. This is my first night on here. It's usually just me and you. I'm getting the feel of things right now.
Jesus
All right.
Christ, I'm going to kick
but
you
see,
right, Nick.
The Aussie with the martial arts background. There, it's in a nutshell.
Sweet. Cena reminds me of a lot of the days when Shawn was champion, when the business was down. You see what I'm saying?
No, because Shawn could wrestle, and Shawn never took away from the fans. He always gave the fans a show. Always.
Well, that's,
yes, but we're in a new direction.
That's what I'm getting at, is like, okay, you had Hogan, and wrestling was at the peak in the 80s, the late 80s, early 90s. It died away. It was at the point where wrestling was fading, and they had Shawn Michaels as champion during the hard times, when Vince was almost bankrupt and had to sell the WWE. Then Austin came along, and it became a worldwide phenomenon again, and now I think Cena... This is where Michaels is. I'm not saying Michaels can't wrestle. I'm saying there's always a transition period, and you got to find the one guy who may not be that right guy.
The problem is, DL, is that they have the right guys. There are guys within the WWE right now that would make fantastic champions, and you could do it for a long time with them. You have the new Hulk Hogan, per se, sitting there, and you're doing really nothing with him in CM Punk.
Well,
listen to me, Nick. You'll understand. Hogan always preached about taking your vitamins and blah, 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 but never lived it. CM Punk preaches it and lives it.
Yeah, but they tried that.
He doesn't have the strength. He doesn't have that. He lacks it.
He doesn't need to be 6'8" and 400 pounds. I wish you people would get this preconceived notion out of your head that they all have to be the cookie cutter image of Hulk Hogan.
Quiet.
Hold on. Now wait a second. We had a very long time period after Hogan when it was Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. Then you had Austin, who wasn't very big. So, I mean, you could go a long weekend. Cena, other than Triple H and Cena, they're really the more prototypical look of Hogan. From there, you've had Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, that were champions that didn't have the look. They had the charisma.
The Rock was 6'4", 6'5", and 200 something. Dude, he was a big guy.
You're going to tell me he looked like Hogan in his heyday? No.
I'm not saying he looked like Hogan in his heyday.
No,
it doesn't mean that they're identical. What I'm saying is that they're the cookie cutter. You know, they fit that mold of a big guy. It connects with the fans. Sells merchandise. I'm not saying they have to have the. I'm not saying that they have to have bleach blonde hair and rip their shirt off.
So would that be why they keep giving Batista the belt?
No, they keep giving Batista. They keep giving him the belt because he's already late in his career. If they're going to use him, they know they got to use him as much as they can.
Because I just think there's times where it's like, why is he getting the belt again?
I'm so sick of seeing Batista with the title. I'm so sick of seeing Edge with the title. You know, I'm absolutely sick. And Omega said it best last year. The Royal Rumble was ruined for me.
I remember this.
The Royal Rumble was ruined because the moment John Cena came out, you knew who was winning it. And
yeah,
what
and
pisses
that was,
me off...
It was the Go unpredictable ahead. Rumble. That was the one you weren't supposed to know.
Uh-huh. And
then number 30 hit.
You know what, Mondrox? Trips hasn't held the title in a while. Up until this latest title run... Up until this latest title run, it had been, what, 3 years since Trips had held the title at all?
Yeah.
Yes,
and you gotta think, Triple H at that time deserved the belt because they had nobody that was worthy enough. And I'm not a big Triple H fan, Smug, you know this. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, there was nobody that could carry the belt. Shawn kept getting hurt. They were bringing mm-hmm. back trash off the trash off pile. Kevin Nash, Scott Steiner. We can go on and on. They tried to give the belt to Benoit. Couldn't do nothing with it. I mean, Triple H went a long time without the belt. Just
Whoa.
Because
Hold on. You said Benoit couldn't do anything with the belt?
They couldn't do anything with him, and I know where he's coming from on this. I understand what he's saying.
No, don't get me wrong. I liked seeing Chris Benoit with the belt because I am one of the biggest Bret Hart fans, and he comes from that lineage.
It's not about lineage. It's about the credibility.
No, he earned it. Don't get me wrong. He earned it, but in the eyes of the casual fan, Benoit couldn't hold the company up. Guys like us that are true wrestling fans,
we applauded
when Benoit got the belt. It was like about time.
Well, the problem with Benoit was that, he's a fantastic wrestler in the ring, but he's known for that silent stalker type attitude. He couldn't hold a storyline. He couldn't work a promo.
Right.
Yes, there's but he bought credit to do with
you'd,
it.
You'd almost had to give him a manager to make it credible. And I feel bad that they took the title away from him after such a short run, because he had deserved it after all those years.
Right.
But so, you know what? And Mondrox is right. Mondrox is right. Hardy can carry the company.
Well, if you don't screw up anymore.
Well,
I'm not just saying that out of storyline. I'm just saying for
his
real.
His popularity with the fans and the buffet-eating fat chicks will go over a very long way. They will not only spend money on food, but they will also spend money on their Jeff Hardy t-shirts and necklaces and DVDs.
Yes, but see, I was happy to see Jeff Hardy get the title. I mean, was anybody else?
Oh, yeah. I was thrilled.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I'm big Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy fan. I was just like, you know, I think you're right. They need to carry the company with Jeff. I think they should have did it a little longer with CM Punk. But I don't get that one. I don't.
All right. I have to say something. Stockett in the chat room says that they've been talking about the chat room left and right. Or they've been talking about the belt in the chat room left and right.
They need to change it?
Well, he's talking about the spinner belt. Well, when Cena introduced the United States spinner belt.
Right.
that was about the last time he used the, that was about the last time he used that, what was his old theme? Thugonomics gimmick. Yeah. That was about the last time that.
Do you know why they stopped using the Thugonomics gimmick?
Because
it turned into Wiconomics.
I absolutely don't care, because you know why? The moment they took that away from John Cena, they weakened the character. They weakened the character. Once you took that away from him, once you took away the ability to talk and do that, you could have had, you honestly could have had the next Austin on your hands.
Yeah, it gave John Cena. It gave him an edge as something a lot of, especially in the faces, we don't have right now. Everyone's very straight-laced. Everyone is very, this is all that I am. There is no, you know, there is nobody that has that edgy side like Austin had, or even like The Rock had at times.
Primo and Carlito?
And
they're mid-carders, but they've got that edge.
You know, Carlito could get there.
I wish they would give Carlito a shot at it, because Carlito would be awesome. Now, Rock and Sock does pose a good question.
Yeah,
about the reports of reuniting the championships again and making one world champion. And I agree. I think it's an awesome idea. But Vince, in his infinite wisdom, has already shot it down.
Well, here's the thing with that. I'm all for one world champion. I think it's too watered down if you have three world champions. I know you're trying to convince the 7 to 14-year-olds that ain't smart enough to realize that it's all one company, but you need one world champion. And where Vince went wrong is if he gets, he would have to get rid of some talent if you made one world champion, I believe.
Yeah, unfortunately, you have to be some pretty big talent too. You're talking Batista, Undertaker, Edge, Triple H, Jeff Hardy, CM Punk, Big Show, John Cena, all of them with legitimate shares in the top card, all going after the same belt. It'd be overpiled.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't need. Tell me right now that the WWE roster as a whole isn't overstuffed as it is.
It is.
It absolutely is. Kung Funaki's still employed.
Right.
Come on. I love Funaki. Funaki should be world champion right now. And he should just come out, and when they tell him he's going to have a title defense, he should just say, indeed, and then give the guy the heart punch, pin him, and walk away. That would be awesome.
But I like what Omega had to say when he was rattling off all them names. Right there's one card. But that's what I'm saying. If you have one world champion, you're going to put down all the guys that are below you that are trying to earn their way to the top.
Hold on real quick. One by one, Omega, I want you to rattle off those names again and do it slowly.
Undertaker.
Retiring.
Edge.
Mid-Carter.
Triple H.
What?
Hold
on. Go back to Edge. Wait a second. Mid-Carter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, dude. I think Edge is one of the top heels.
Just hold on. Edge is a fantastic heel. He is definitely deserving of world championship and main event status. It absolutely is. But what happens when you are overexposed to a heel for too long? You stop hating the character and start hating the individual. And a lot of people are starting to get sick of Edge. As a person, I mean, they hate seeing him there. They hate seeing his face plastered all over all over the TV. I think it is time that you take Edge and you break him down a bit and you could put the U.S. title on him, the Intercontinental title, it doesn't matter. You could put a mid-card title on him and put him in the mid-card status.
Okay, but then here's the thing. On SmackDown, as a fan, put yourself in a fan's mind, and who on SmackDown could carry a heel other than Edge to the character that Edge has right now?
Dude, they're bringing back Christian. Christian can do it.
Yeah,
you
but that's just Edge Lite, though.
Yeah.
There's a difference, though. I mean, there really is a difference. Tell me you're not sick of seeing... tell me you're not sick of seeing Edge's face on the screen every time you turn around watching SmackDown.
I'm not.
Yeah, but...
Look.
Omega's got a point.
No,
here's the thing. I like seeing Edge, but if you are a real fan of the business, you want to be sick of a heel. You don't, because you're going to tune in to say, man, I hope Jeff Hardy takes him
but
out.
There's
I hope the Big Show turns on Edge. You're wanting...
Dude, tell me during the height of Evolution and the height of Triple H's heel run and the later end of it, when Triple H held that title for almost, 2-3 years straight, every time you turn around, he had the title?
Yes.
Okay, tell me at the height of that and at the end of that, you stopped hating Triple H and just the character and just started hating the man. Because you got sick of seeing him. You got sick of seeing his face shoved down your throat. And I know that almost everybody else in this panel did because I had to hear him bitch about it every week on WNL and WrestleTalk Radio and shows like that.
And at that time, it's because you didn't have a credible heel.
Refuses to make one. That's my point.
Okay, then you can't hate that character. You got to be able to keep open-minded and be like, man.
Dude,
you know, it's
I like Edge. Are you not hearing me? I like Edge. I like the character. I like that he's the ultimate opportunist, per se. I like what they've done with it. The problem is that they've shoved him down our throat for far too long. You need to take a step back with him so that the character doesn't lose its edge. Pun intended.
Yeah, but to me, every wrestler on Raw and SmackDown is you're getting shoved down the throat. MVP, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, you're getting them all the time. So why is it just Edge?
We're going through
it's
the list.
Gimmick for so long, basically.
Yeah, that's why like a Triple H, he can work as a heel for over a year because, you know, he will bring up something like Evolution or, you know, he will either be the corporate Triple H or he's been the badass Triple H. He has different personas, but he's still playing
the
same
character.
Heel. Yeah, it's like having different flavors to him. But Edge
is the same flavor.
Edge, I do like the ultimate opportunist. I like how, as an egotistical heel, he's smart. And most ego-driven heels are extraordinarily dumb.
Right.
Yes.
And
well, see, and I think that's the problem, is there ain't enough heels like Edge or like a Triple H.
Well,
and it's like Spoke said, Vince won't make one.
You know, hold on in the chat room. Raul, listen, man. You have to keep up with the class tonight. We're covering a lot of ground here. You have to keep up with the class. I just explained how he needs to go and be in a mid-card status, and we're still explaining it, so pay attention. Okay, anyway, please continue.
Aside from, he's a straight heel, and he hasn't ever changed since he started being a heel. If anything... The only thing that has changed about him and has made him worse is Vicky Guerrero. I'm sick of seeing her. I don't mind seeing Edge that much. If I liked when he went completely psycho, threatened to take Vicky down to hell with him, that Edge, if he had ran with it, would have been good to see for a while. But they brought him back from injury. They saddled him right back with Vicky. We're right back to where we started. And as much as I'm tired of Edge in that one heel persona, I'm sick of Vicky. Period.
I will agree with you. I will absolutely.
They're just cutting Vicky a paycheck. That because of what happened at...
She can set up the fucking ring, but she can't be on camera.
Dude, DL, come on. You know what? There have been numerous reports coming out from members of the Guerrero family who said, we don't talk to Vicky unless we see her at a taping. I mean, you could tell that half the time that her and Chavo are sitting there having casual conversation, it's forced. It's a forced conversation between the two of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they need... I know that they want to help Vicky. I know that it's a paycheck for her so she can make a living, raise her family. That's fine. That's fine. Put her in behind the scenes. Do something with her else. Have her drive merchant. I don't care. But Vicky does not need to be on TV. Her
it's
voice,
never
read the Divas
storyline.
I would rather have a cheese grater raked over my balls than have to listen to that one.
That's
still
extreme.
Taking notes, everybody.
All right, now
you could probably make
name.
That swap with you just for the good TV time that you get.
I mean, really, you know, it just, she, SmackDown put her in a coffin, you thought that was wrong, I thought that was fantastic, I gave her a standing ovation in my living room. I'm like, good, she can go join Eddie.
Oh, no.
Too far, mate, too far.
Damn.
Too far.
Tasteless joke number two.
You gotta get it. Spug has exactly no respect.
there's bitterness leaking out of my headset.
There is. I don't know what
Spug made. That was
like
just too far.
It's green.
Too far.
Spug,
it's too
what's
far.
Wrong with you, man?
I said it was tasteless joke number two.
Oh, we're not gonna keep a tally.
Oh, yes I am. Oh, yes I am.
Lines.
That's because let's see who had tasteless joke number one. I believe that was Nick that had tasteless joke number one.
Yeah,
that was just a bit of fun. This didn't, you know, make fun of saying I want somebody gone.
Well, he don't want her gone. He just thought it was funny that she went in the casket.
Yeah, but join Eddie. It's,
oh,
I don't know. I'm a bit more conservative than that.
Right on.
It's not like her husband died the night before and they put her in the coffin the next day. Jesus Christ, man. It's like 3 years later. It doesn't matter. And he was found dead in a hotel room, not in a funeral parlor.
Ooh. Yeah. Was,
okay, can we go back to the list and
what list?
The list,
list
of,
Omega was rattling off.
Yeah, keep
okay,
going. All right,
okay, we've established Spug wants Edge and Meg Carter and like Vicky in a coffin. Let's go on.
Great.
Okay, Undertaker Edge, Triple H.
I think you should keep him in his, and this is not because he's my husband, I mean favorite wrestler. I honestly think you should put him in more of a Ric Flair mentor role. Give him screen time. You give him main event status per se, but you need to like limit him and give him the good feuds.
Yeah, but how soon is he going to break Ric Flair's record? That's going to happen.
It's going to happen, but I don't think you should make a big deal out of it until
he's retired.
Yeah, until he's retiring, you know.
Who?
Triple H.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you should, you know, make a big deal out of it. Like literally, and this to me would be awesome. Is if he's approaching that record, he's what? Yes, he is. He spoons Amy. It's awesome. He's a cuddle slut.
Who, Triple H?
Yeah, he's a cuddle slut.
Well.
But anyway,
Triple H should stay.
Is that great?
Stephanie's fat.
Stephanie's good looking.
No, she's not.
She is good looking.
Stop it. Stephanie McMahon is not good looking.
She is good looking.
Oh my God.
She's not bad.
She's not bad. Dude, she's had, what, 2 kids? She's not bad.
I said she's not bad.
But anyway, let's talk.
Prop to Tony O.
Are you going to see that?
And we've seen him.
That's
what about Tony O?
I think I've still got the clip where Triple H was about to pedigree her onto an announcing table. And they slipped a little bit.
I was 2 rows from that. Yes. Yes,
you know what my
favorite
moment was? When they were about to launch the Planet of the Apes movie, and Chris Jericho came out and was ranting on her, and showed the difference between Stephanie and showed that she'd gotten a boob job.
Now, that was funny. Oh, but Triple H, back to Triple H, real quick, in the list. If he gets to the point where he's about to break Ric Flair's record, I would like him to do it, but I would like to say, you know, I'd almost like him to retire after that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because where do you go from there? You've eclipsed your idol.
Yeah.
You've done everything and more in your career. There's nothing more to do. So I would almost like to see them do what they did for Ric Flair and let him go out, instead of letting him go out on top the next night, let him go out on top at WrestleMania. And the next night, have him come out and talk. You know what I mean?
Right.
Let him win the title at WrestleMania. And let people think that he's going to go on. And the next night, let him retire as champion.
When do you think we'll get to retire as tag team champions?
Never. We suck.
We do. But anyways... Here's a quick question about champions and title reigns. Rumor floating around right now that Kurt Angle next fall will be is possibly going to re-sign with the WWE. And TNA's already claiming him as a 12-time champion. If he would come back, would WWE do the same?
No.
They're never going to acknowledge TNA. You don't see him pushing Ron Killings as a former world champion.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you don't think
it would be a mistake for them to acknowledge it?
It would be a mistake.
I don't think it'd be a mistake because they've referenced Ric Flair as an NWA champion, and that is R-Truth was an NWA world champion.
Yeah.
Well, I
but
mean,
still, it is. It's still during that TNA period, so you're acknowledging competition.
Right.
You know what? You know what, Tonio? I bet you he does because Vince is highly forgiving.
Yeah.
He's highly, but I don't know if he will, because one of the main reasons he went to TNA over WWE was it was a drastic reduction in his schedule.
Well, then WWE was the one that let him go because they thought he had too many personal problems.
Right.
And wasn't there something also involving drugs?
Painkiller addiction.
Yeah, he had a painkiller addiction, which I think he still has.
Oh, yeah, TNA doesn't give a shit.
No, they don't. He's been pulled over. He's been pulled over, arrested, or pulled over twice, arrested once for DUI, and they found painkillers in his car the second time, and they weren't prescribed.
Well,
if anyone wants to know just how messed up Kurt Angle is, the current rumor right now is he's dating Rocka Khan.
Yeah, him and Karen Angle did divorce, for real. Yeah, so he's
guys, it might just be the kiss of the spider woman principle.
It is.
I mean, but, do you guys know what that is?
The spider woman principle?
You could explain
kiss of the
for
spider
our listeners.
Woman. Okay, Kiss of the Spider Woman, it's a very famous musical. And basically, the story is a Cuban revolutionary and a man who was arrested for being homosexual are both put in a jail cell for 15 years. And they're as conflicting as they can, as two people can be. Yet over that extended time period, they somehow fall in love and all that crap. But the concept is that basically if two people are in a confined space for a long enough period, they'll eventually fall in love. And I mean, wrestling is a very, very close-knit industry. People travel together. They share cars. They share hotel rooms.
Oh, yes. I remember that time me and Spug drove to Illinois.
Oh, no.
I looked at him, and he looked at me, and... Oh, I'm
then
sorry.
Then I smacked him in the mouth.
I was having a flashback there.
He asked me if I had ever been skiing, and I was like, nope, I'm not going to Colorado today, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Number three.
All right.
And that's two for me tonight.
Strike three, you're out.
I really am keeping track of tasteless jokes, by the way. I have a little list here.
You shouldn't be telling tasteless jokes on the air.
Oh, dude. This is WTR. This is the king of tasteless jokes and shameless plugs.
I know.
Bug?
But there's a 13-year-old in here.
What's that?
I can raise the bar on you. I am drinking an energy drink called Dickens Cider.
Oh, that's a, dude. The one store here by me refuses to carry it because of the name.
What's it called?
Dickens Cider.
Yeah.
Oh, I love hot Dickens Cider. But they won't sell it in America. Only in Nevada.
Well, the funny thing is, I actually know the guy who imports it. And to import it, he needed so many lists of resellers. And because I also used to run a tech business, he listed me as a reference for it. So I'm apparently official reseller of the stuff. I've also received a full list of jokes. I don't prefer a Dickens Cider bottle. I prefer a Dickens Cider can. All the rest of those.
Jeez, I spend months
I'm calling it.
We went from WWE. We went from WWE, TNA, championships, record-breaking championships, Ric Flair, Triple H, to
there's more.
Until now, an Aussie is talking about drinking an energy drink called Dickens Cider.
Oh, there's more, dude. There's
where have we fallen off the tracks here?
Hey, wait, we could talk.
On the track. Wait, dude. Hey, we're still at the station waiting for the train to show up.
It's four guys. We could talk about getting a Dickens Cider all day.
I'm with Omega.
Omega's talking about getting a dick inside his girlfriend. I mean, wait, never mind. Ba-dum! Anyway.
Okay, I think that's qualified for five, Spug. 3-2.
All right, what's our next item on the list?
Well, I want to keep going. All right, who else did you say on that list?
I actually have somebody who I think could carry the company very, very well.
Who's that? Really?
His name is Mr. Kennedy.
If he can stop getting hurt.
Yeah.
Well, he was shooting a movie.
No, he bust. No. He got injured again. He just shot a movie while he was recovering.
Yeah, he's got the Randy Orton syndrome. Where you wrestle for 3 months, get hurt, come back in another 3 months, get hurt, come back for 6 weeks, and get hurt.
Yeah, it's kind of like Sabu, except he doesn't try to injure himself every night.
Hold on real quick. Speaking of Randy Orton, there's another person who either needs to, as my father once said, shit or get off the pot. Or at least do us a favor while he's in the bathroom and just draw the razor blade across his throat.
Oh, boy.
Whoa.
You notice how so far he wants half the people we've talked about dead.
Figuratively. Figuratively.
That's including his boss.
Finish your thought.
I mean, really, Randy Orton, they keep teasing us with this faction, right? Which I think is a fantastic idea. You got Manu, you've got Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase's son, Randy Orton. You could bring Carlito into that. You could make this thing
They brought Deuce in.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, they're teasing that. He's not officially
in
there.
Official.
Yeah, no, I mean, this could be awesome. And I would pay attention to this because of I watched all those guys' fathers when I was little. You know what I mean? And it would be an awesome faction because of the thing, you would have a heel force that could go from show to show. They could go from Raw to SmackDown and anywhere in between. Kind of like DX did back in the days when the brand split was first introduced.
Yeah.
You would see DX on Raw and then you'd see him on SmackDown, or a portion of him on SmackDown. And it would be, it really would be cool because then, you could bring up this face faction, like the new Heart Foundation. There is plenty of room there to do this and do this well. But they keep teasing us, like we're some fat dog jumping for a table scrap. We're just standing there jumping up and down waiting for it.
This faction would be bigger than the Four Hour Men. The Four Horsemen.
Oh, the four hour men. Wait. I take it they all took Viagra back in the day?
Ro, you set them up, I knock them down.
Ric Flair's got a big boost of confidence.
He's at six, guys?
We usually think before we type.
No, you don't. Shut up.
Part of brain function.
Shut up, Spug. You're not smart enough to think and type at the same time.
That's why I said I think before I type.
Oh.
Well, you shouldn't be pissing away all your welfare money gambling then.
Oh
no, you don't get it, Nick and Omega. These guys go at it tooth and nail. It's funnier and funny.
It's number five on the night.
Oh. Five, I thought
it was six. Oh, no, it is five. Six. It's five for me.
No, two for me.
Two for you, but I'm still way in the lead. Yes, thank you. You earned your unemployment. Jesus. Sometimes you should just keep your mouth shut, sir. You're digging your hole deeper.
Oh, you guys are wrong. All right, back to the list.
Did we want to do the year in review yet?
You're still trying to get through this
list.
We
got an hour and 10 minutes. Let's get through the damn list.
We actually have a while. You know what? I'm not going to worry about frequently asked questions, Rao. If you want to tell me to fuck off, then spell it, you fucking hick. Jesus Christ.
Here we go.
By the way, the only bright spot of my day was watching Ben Roethlisberger get carted out on a stretcher.
Oh.
That was pretty wicked.
Anyway, alright, year in review. Because we're never going to get through the list.
Yeah.
But we only got one more name.
No.
Okay, we've got to do it. What's the name?
You know,
what do you mean you only got one more name?
We didn't talk about Sean.
Sean is not a main eventer anymore.
He's like one of six names Sean, that we didn't get to, and we're not going to get to, or we'll never get through tonight.
All right, let's go to the year in review, ladies and gentlemen. This is brought to you by Spug's Tasteless Jokes, number six on its way.
I'm
listening to Marty at
number seven on its way, technically.
Number seven on its way.
Yeah, six. That makes me happy. I want to see if I can get to 15 tonight.
But I know this hot chick in Nevada with big boobs, and she's a blonde.
Inside joke for me.
You know what?
What?
I'm not even going to get you. Rao, come into the chat room Thursday, and we'll have, you know, the annihilation of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll just verbally
listen.
Your team.
Now this is my problem. This is my problem. This is all I hear. We had the hardest schedule. We'll get to that Thursday.
We'll get to that Thursday.
I had about enough of hearing that from all kinds.
We'll get to that Thursday. But anyway.
Are we doing year in review, or did we?
Yes, we're gonna do the year in review, but. Let's do some short topics because we got a break coming up.
Okay.
Let's do some short topics about the year in review.
Okay, I've got some interesting stuff about Eric Bischoff. Apparently, he's in talks with Hulk Hogan about starting a new wrestling organization.
It'll never get off the ground.
You're saying that? Did anybody ever get a chance to watch CCW?
I watched a little of it.
It was great. It was great on nights I couldn't fall asleep.
I've got a friend who's got an unlimited ADSL 2 plan. So let's just say I've acquired it and got around to watching it this morning. I've got to say, look, it's building a lot of steam. I'm hearing a lot of hype about it. I watched it. I didn't like the direction they took it in. I thought it was a very weak product. I think it devalues wrestling with their approach. I think it proved how fucked up the training industry is. I'm going to say this. I like Brian Knobbs. He is an excellent trainer. But I think the fact that they were coming out with the matches written up in paper, move for move, was fucked.
Well, here's the thing that I didn't like about it. And this is coming from someone that trained with two credible trainers in Jimmy Lee and Kid Collins. I did it for 3 years, and watching celebrities try to do this, they had no effing clue what was going on. That was not training. Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff and anyone that is associated with that need to be shot, because that was horrible. That was a disgrace to wrestling. That was the disgrace to everything there is about wrestling, and it's a pure joke. Hogan and Bischoff need to let the past go. Okay?
Deal?
It's over. Yes.
You've done 3 years. I've done 11.
Okay, then you know where I'm coming from.
Do you know what it is to wake up and to go to work or to school with broken blood vessels on your neck?
Yes, I did. Yes. Ask WWE about my ear.
Dude, I used to do this too, Nick. I've gone.
Spug has done this with me for the past 5 years. Nick, okay, granted, you did 11 years, then you should be more ashamed about the CCW than anyone.
Then we should.
You should be more outraged.
I'm using celebrities. Let's face it. It was the Surreal Life Wrestling edition.
Dude, it should have never, ever, 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 ever gotten the airtime.
I think
let's just take out the dagger and draw it against kayfabe's throat one more time, as if there's not enough gaping, bleeding wounds in her throat now.
I mean, Nick, the thing is about wrestling is it's the one thing that should not be mocked. I mean, you don't look at this. Take this, for instance, say Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Dan Marino, name every past NFL star, got a bunch of celebrities, put 11 on 11. It's a mockery of football. They would never do it. People of the past would be outraged at it. Where's the outrage for this mockery? If we love wrestling.
Because wrestling's not looked up. To publish. This goes into a whole other set of circumstances.
But do you see what I'm saying?
I do, but the public consciousness is that wrestling is not a real sport, that wrestling is fake, that there's nothing real in wrestling. The blood isn't real. They know how to fall. Dude, you go in there and take a bump off the top rope. You go in there and take a leg drop. You people go in there and take a chair shot. Those things fucking hurt. I don't care who you are. You can't fake that.
And I didn't see one guy. I didn't see one guy. I wrestled a guy named Shag in a hardcore match. I don't do hardcore. Okay, hardcore is for people that want to not learn the business and pay their dues and think they are a wrestler. Okay? I took a choke slam the wrong way on some kind of piece of wood. And I lost
all
feeling in my left. Yeah. I lost feeling in my left arm and my left leg. There's nothing more scarier than that than when I see a bunch of washed up actors saying, oh, this ain't that bad. Oh, this don't bother me. Dude, you are not doing nowhere near. Nick, if you've been in the business for 11, 12 years, there's probably stuff.
I haven't been
like,
in the business. I trained for 11
okay,
years.
Okay, if you've trained
for 11
years.
I did Kenpo freestyle with a major in jiu-jitsu grappling.
Okay, so he did martial arts. He didn't do pro wrestling. There's a difference there.
Yeah, if you're
there's a big difference there, dude. I'm not gonna step up and say I know what you know how to do because you'd whoop my ass in a heartbeat.
Right.
But to have you come into a ring and say you can do what we do, uh-uh.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
No. I'm not saying that you said that, but you know what I mean?
Are you training to wrestle or are you training in MMA?
I'm training in grappling. In fact, funny you mention this, I'm actually coming out of retirement on the 5th of January to write a jiu-jitsu grappling course for a friend of mine who runs a school because his black belts have just decided they want to start majoring.
Okay. Well, see, Nick,
well, that's cool.
That is cool, but...
But a lot of the stuff does cross over.
It does cross over, Nick. I have a background in amateur wrestling. I did amateur wrestling in junior high and a little bit in high school. So I know how... It's the idea of... You got to learn how to transition it. You can't just go in there thinking, I know amateur wrestling, I know jiu-jitsu, I know taekwondo, I know kempo, I'm a wrestler. You got to be able to tell a story. You got to be able to put moves together that are credible to the fan. And so they're not thinking what we call spot monkeys, where I'm going to roundhouse kick this guy, I'm going to do a flip off the rope, I'm going to powerbomb this guy. You got to learn how to basically put it, and it's almost like writing a human book. And what they do on that CCW is not what we train for in wrestling. And it's, if you're training for wrestling, you would understand the frustration and anger you get out of seeing the garbage that I see.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes, go ahead.
This is the thing that really fucking got to me about CCW, though. They walked in with a fucking word-for-word script. Is that happening to the people being trained at the moment?
No, we don't have a worked-on-work script. You know what happens when I screw up? Jimmy Lee would get on me, grab me by my hair, and say, do it right. You didn't get a script. You didn't
write
the first...
But I'm asking, is that happening in the WWE at the moment? Because it feels like it is.
Yeah, a lot of the matches are scripted right down to the letter. They very rarely allow them to call their own matches.
Yeah, you're not... They hand you a promo sheet and say, guess what? This is what you're saying. This is what you're going to say. They don't allow you. They don't hand you a bulletin point sheet anymore and say, hey, just cover it. Hit this, 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 and this. And you know what I mean?
That's basically for the television in itself. We don't read off a script when you train. A lot of guys, Triple H, Taker, Cena, Michaels, they did not read a script when they were training. Now, when they got to WWE, they have a developmental program where you learn that stuff, but you gotta be, they gotta know you before you get into FS.
Alright, anyway, it's the top of the hour. Okay. I need to piss. People need to take a break.
Thanks for taking a break here
on the Wild Talk Radio Network. When we come right back, when we get back from these messages, we're going to get more into the year in review. I'm not real sure where, but we will. I'm Spug, that's Omega, Nick, DL. Catch you after these messages.
Every single Wednesday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topics and you lead the discussion.
Hadlick with sharp shoots. What a stop by Kiprasov. Rebound. Oh, an even better save. They score. Dustin Boyd. The lead to two.
into the play as you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Ice, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on Earth.
Hey everybody, Tim Stein here with Wild Talk Radio. If you're listening to my voice at this particular point in time, that means that you're enjoying either one of the live programs or one of the podcasts on our archives page. I'd like to take this time out right now to say thank you very much for tuning in and supporting the Wild Talk Radio Network. And I am sending out a personal invitation right now to any of you who think that you would like to be on Wild Talk Radio Network. If you've got a show idea, get in touch with admin@wildtalkradio.com. Let's talk about it. Once again, thanks for tuning in.
Just when you thought it was safe to check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, you better think again. As taking over the airwaves every Saturday night is the show that has no limit.
Alright, Rob, what channel
like oxygen? Is
it? It'll be close to me.
It's like one of those... It's like one of those women channels, like
Oxygen.
Lifetime, or holy shit, that chick is holding a dildo.
It's the Oxygen channel.
Yeah, just fucking, yeah, fondle that thing.
Okay, I feel like we're playing with it, like, and it feels great.
Oh my god, look, oh my god,
look at this. Can we see it in action?
Touching up blue dildo.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you are just tuning in with us now, or in case you're totally lost, we are watching. It's a 7.5-inch
dong.
What the hell?
The show that makes the unexpected the expected.
It's actually not radio station.
For real?
Yeah.
What radio station are you on?
It's the EWA Media Network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I be on that radio station?
You can. You want to talk to
me? I need to talk to you.
You got to talk to me. Hold on one second.
Hey, you're on the air. What's going on?
What's good?
Nah, what's going on with you? Yeah, you're the same
Listen,
one, right?
I want to be on your fucking radio station because I'm from Connecticut and I went to school in Boston.
Yeah. You know the deal.
No, you need to have the life out in fucking Florida. Just come down for a week.
Oh, jeez. How long
it's
you down?
Would
you move down there?
Yeah. Well, there's not a good tree down here, and there's not good people down here, and it's the life.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do, right?
You gotta do what you gotta do. That's right. All right, well, I'm gonna put your boy back on the phone, but I just want to say Connecticut 860 representing, and that's what's up.
Of course. You know how we do it up north.
All right, boy. I'll talk to you later.
Hold
on one sec. Let's see. Who does need a bathing suit?
Woo!
The show that makes you wonder, did I really just hear that?
What the? Why don't you turn it on? Let's do some live demonstration here.
Yeah, really.
I want to see the bed vibrate.
I'm never letting my girlfriend watch this channel.
It's Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Now who's ready for another shot?
Yo, what's up? It's your boy John Cena, repping SmackDown.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Repping WWE.
Word life. This is basic thuganomics.
Reppin' the chain gang.
This is basic thuganomics. Word life.
You listen to WTR Sunday night.
I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me.
are. Sunday night, you heard? What up? Woo!
It's probably one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And welcome back to WTR on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm the Spud Guy. That's Omega.
Ooh.
We're joined by DL Havoc and
what is
Nick,
up, suckers?
In our 2008 year in review show. And we were just BSing for the last half hour, talking about the state
last
of
half hour. I'm talking about the last hour.
We haven't reviewed shit yet for you,
and you
just
know,
joining us.
And you know what, DL? You said something before the break about we only had an hour and 10 minutes left? No.
I got booked for 6 hours.
Is he program director here?
Who's that?
Assistant program director right here. Assistant program director behind the scenes, who has just as much power as I do. So, you know
who's
what?
That?
Rock and Sock. We can go as long as we want.
Hey, I can keep up.
I'm not saying we're going to go to like 9 in the morning, but you know what I mean.
Oh, no. No. We are.
But anyway.
What time is it in Australia right now, Nick?
It's 3 p.m.
On Monday?
So, see.
On Monday. Yeah.
See, Nick can stay up because it's his normal time, and I work third shift, so I'm used to it. So it's a win-win.
And I don't sleep.
Yeah, I don't either.
What's and sleep?
Yeah, what's sleep?
Exactly.
Plus, you got to remember, I've got all these caffeine drinks.
Right. Anyway.
What's the name of it again?
What am I current? I've just finished off the can of Dickens Cider.
Yeah.
I've got about half a case left of Left Turn. I have some beautiful Hawaiian energy drinks I brought back from my holiday called Up, made purely of coffee.
What did you do, go to Hawaii?
Nice.
Yeah, I went to Hawaii. The last time I did WTR, I got an internet deal where I flew over for just under $800 return.
Australian or American?
Australian.
That's what, 500-600 American?
Yep. Including tax, including the meals, including the extras. And, yeah, I just bought stacks of shit while I was over there.
Now, see, this helps me knowing Nick and getting to know Nick, because me and my wife's dream vacation is to go to Australia. So sometime when I'm about 60.
You live near Sydney, don't you, Nick?
I live in fucking Bondi. I can see Bondi Beach from my house.
Right on.
I have no idea where that is.
Somebody else want to field this one?
That's Elmo.
Bondi Beach is like the main fucking beach in Australia.
Okay, well, whatever. But anyway.
How close is it to Birrawa?
Where the fuck is Birrawa?
Never mind.
Anyway. We'll get to that, right, fanatic in the chair. No. Anyway. We were talking in our own private little chat that we have going about we wanted to get into worst storyline ever or worst storyline of 2008 coming up, and I want to, but I want to tie this in because while I love the Ric Flair retirement storyline, I still think it was a bad storyline.
But was it the biggest fuck up of the year?
No, it wasn't, but they did screw it up.
Okay.
Screw what up? The Ric Flair storyline?
Yes, they did. They did screw it up.
How?
Because there were probably 10 other guys that could have wrestled Flair in his last match. And it would have had more meaning and belief behind it
than Shawn Michaels.
Well, they tried to get Sting.
I know, and Sting wasn't having it. They tried to get Sting, and Sting didn't want to do it.
You know, TNA wouldn't let him do it.
Yeah, TNA wouldn't let him do it. You could have honestly done it with Triple H, and I think Triple H would have been the fantastic choice for that. He really would have.
Yeah. Hmm.
He's going to break Ric Flair's record someday. He doesn't need to be the one that ended his career, too.
But you get what I'm saying. That, I mean, that could have worked. You could have, I mean, Mick Foley, not as far as worst storyline is concerned, but probably worst done. No, worst done storyline and one that wasn't, biggest disappointment in the storyline had to have been the Mick Foley, Ric Flair storyline, because they could have got a lot of mileage out of that, and I really think it would have been a good one, because you could have had Flair come out and say, "All right, you want to say these things about me? You want to do this to me? Then why don't you come up to my level?" And you have a match that is catered to Ric Flair. You know what I mean?
Right.
You could have had these matches that were catered to Ric Flair and said, maybe, 30-minute Iron Man match or, no weapon. You know what I mean?
Maybe he didn't want gimmicks.
But this is what I'm saying. You do this match that's catered to Flair, where it's, this match takes all of the advantage away from Flair.
I don't think
he
wanted one of the gimmicks.
But then you have Foley go over in that style of match. Then you say, the Flair comes out and says, "All right, well, I can beat you at your game." And they do a hardcore style match, and Flair turns around and beats him. You could have this culmination and have it done well, because I really think that the two of them, with their personal animosities, and now that they both come out and said it's put behind them, you know what I mean? That they can tolerate each other and get along. I think with a mixture of the personal animosity and working together and both knowing wrestling like they know wrestling and being able to do a lost art in wrestling such as ring and crowd psychology, they could have done it very well, and it probably would have been one of the best storylines of 2008.
I agree with you.
Instead of one of the most disappointing storylines.
Yeah,
go. Yeah, talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I tend to agree. I thought the match could have been done with someone better, but I mean, it goes back. I mean, who was really going to do it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I guess the best way you could have done it was Foley. So.
I don't really know
where to go with that. I just kind
of... I'm not saying that Foley should have wrestled in his last match. I was talking about the feud between Foley and Flair that had a lot of promise that they didn't do anything with. And if you would have built up on the potential of that feud, you could have had Foley been his last match, and it would have worked out fantastic. But they didn't. Again, WWE fell short.
Yeah. Well, they lately have been falling short, so.
Falling short? They haven't even gotten off the fucking runway sometimes.
But people keep coming back, man. That's the thing. I always discuss with my dad and a couple older people. I think in wrestling there's a time period. There's just a time period where you grow up, per se, and you kind of get sick of it to a point. Like my dad, he can't stand wrestling now, but he loved it in the 60s and 70s. Me growing up, 80s, 90s, in the 2000s, I loved it. Then about 2001 and 2, I just started kind of like, man, it's old, it's out of date, it's not entertaining anymore. I just wonder, is it a time frame? Because we're always asking, why do people keep coming back? And it's
P.T. Barnum's right.
Where at? Who?
P.T. Barnum was right.
What's that?
There is a sucker born every minute.
Yeah. And
I think pro wrestling has, like, you know it's fake, and you know it's not, they're, you know, they're not really hating each other's guts. Well, most of them aren't really hating each other's guts. But right. it takes a certain level of campiness that you do tend to get sick of. Like, there are, like, I'm a Mystery Science Theater fan, so, you know, every now and then I like a bad movie that's just so bad you have to enjoy it. And pro wrestling almost works the same way. You want that over the top, you want it to be like a live action comic book kind of thing, but that is something you do get tired of or grow out of eventually.
Right.
There's only so much you can handle.
Right, and Amy in the chat room, the someone in the background that is screaming would be DL Havoc's little demon child named Hunter, who is being summoned from the eighth ring of hell at the current moment.
It's not that. He had a late nap.
Guys, can I just take a step back for a second, though?
Yes.
With what you were saying about you get sick of wrestling, I can understand where you get that from, but I think just what's being churned out at the moment is absolute shit.
Well, it is.
Because I'm going through that at the moment. I've been recently, I haven't stopped wrestling, watch wrestling since 97. And it's just, I fucking hooked up my VCR again to watch my old tapes.
Well, alright, here's, and this is kind of, I went back and did a little bit of research, and this has always been fairly true, is that during a more liberal president, and I'm not saying Democratic or Republican, but during a more liberal president and liberal era in the United States, wrestling tends to hit a growth period and becomes mainstream again. You look back during Clinton, when Clinton was at, the Clinton administration was at its peak. You had the Attitude Era, you know, you had DX and things like that. And it was a very liberal time frame as far as arts and entertainment was concerned.
WCW.
You had the WCW with all what they did. You had the Katie Vick storyline.
We have to bring that up.
You had all this stuff, and now George Bush gets into office, and you had the 9/11 attacks and all that, and we're in a very kind of tight asshole clenched society. I mean, literally, you can't walk around in American society today and say what you want to say because people go, I can't believe that's not PC. You know what? Take the dildo out of your ass. Live a little, people. It's okay.
You know, it's funny
words aren't going to kill someone.
Spug, it's funny you mentioned that, because before I went to Hawaii, one of the first things I got told was, first of all, watch what you fucking say. I received an email from my fucking airline that was telling me advice for traveling to the United States. And it was,
JJ. I thought Katie Vick was 2000, but you are right.
Yeah, it was 2000.
I thought Katie Vick was 2000, which would have been the tail end of the Clinton administration, but you are right, sir.
But yeah, it was really, watch what you fucking say. If you say anything like this, this is stuff I say in Australia all the fucking time. If you do this, you can be held in a cell for 7 days under suspicion of terrorism.
Oh, dude, it's insane here. It's insane here. Absolutely insane here.
In Australia, it's all fucking chilled. After 9/11, everything tightened up. You know, I went to a concert in 2002. They wouldn't let you bring your own bottles in.
You haven't been able to do that. You haven't been able to do that in the United States for years, and I'm proud to say that Akron kind of started that with the open-air venues during Pantera in 2001 when we ripped apart the fucking Blossom Music Center.
Oh, well, I went to a concert a couple of weeks ago. I had a backpack. They didn't even check it.
Well, you know,
Australia's got a little little more lenient than the U.S. right now, ain't they? I mean,
dude, everybody's a little bit more lenient than the United States. The United States is the gigantic stick up your ass country. They really are. And
oh yeah,
especially in the state of Ohio.
Health regulations in Australia are a lot stricter. A lot of the energy drinks I bring in, they're not actually stuff you're supposed to bring in.
Well,
we've got a 140 limit, whereas in the States I was buying these Rockstar energy shots from Walmart that are like 75 mils and 200 milligrams of caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it was like, this shit will fuck you up. Like sort of thing. And, yeah, in Australia, because it was so relaxed, I mean, even customs guys were pretty chilled. It was like, what have you got in the suitcase? Candy bars? Yeah, just head through, mate. It's all good.
Yeah, no, I mean, anyway, they just, and this notion, and this is what I think has ruined wrestling more this year than anything, is that,
whoa, hold on a second. You're saying that this is worse than Vince killing himself?
Vince killing himself? That was...
And holding a tribute to himself.
Well, I'm getting to that.
So are we all in the agreement that's the worst storyline of 2008?
Yes.
No.
I have one worse.
Okay, what is it?
Okay,
I want to hear next.
Let's Bug finish his thought, because I cut him off for a second there, and I'm going to rant for a while after this.
Well,
so, Bug,
hold on. Toss the storyline out there. I'll get to my thought later at the end when we do our rebuttals, but toss your thought out there for worst storyline of 2008.
Okay,
and we'll go around the table with it.
Can I finish all my footnotes here? Because I got a good half page of notes on this.
Can you put it in the Cliff Notes form?
No. It is the fucking ripped out shit from WCW. It didn't work then. It's not working now. They couldn't have fucked it up anymore. Main Event Mafia versus the Frontline.
Oh, God. You went TNA. No wonder.
Oh. Nick's got a very good one, dude. If this... If it is so horrible, Paul Heyman's come out and said it.
Is there anybody who said it's good?
Eric Bischoff.
Process elimination.
Eric Bischoff even came out and said it's the worst idea. He said all it is a ripoff of the Bloodline, the New Blood against the NWO or something like that.
Yeah, does everyone remember that thing that WCW did and they still went bankrupt? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to do it again.
All right, well, go on, Nick. Go on your rant and go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I have come up with the unfuck the pooch list.
Just talk about the storyline first.
First of all, yeah, we all know what happened. The lack of respect formed the group. Here is the list of errors. First of all, throw Kurt Angle out of the picture. He's not a fucking vet. Okay, he's got the medals, but it's still fucked up. I mean, yes, it's not 96. If it was 96, yes, you could give him the mic. It's not 96. You've got a guy like Kevin Nash sitting on the side, who nobody will go, Kevin Nash, you know, he's not been around long enough. You know, he's not been forced down our throats. I would give him the mic. Now, first of all, I would also throw Booker T out of the club. Don't get me wrong, I like Booker T. He just doesn't fit in there. He doesn't have that long enough veteran feel to him.
He does have a British accent every time he goes evil.
That's not British. That's like Schmeagle. It's not British. He's fucking from Texas.
Schmeagle.
I mean, really, what the fuck is it? It's not New Zealand, it's not Australian, I can certify that. It's not English, because we get too many of the English fucking backpackers over here down in Bondi Beach. So I know a fucking English accent when I hear one. It's not American, it's not Canadian, it's not Mexican. What else do I have to say? It's not Asian either.
Is this Booker... We're talking about Booker T, right?
We're talking about Booker T's accent.
Or
we're
not Booker.
He's from Africa.
is from South Africa or whatever. I went
to a South African school. He's not talking in cars. He can't even... I have a school. Sister school was not in Joburg, but Cape Town. You don't need to talk to me about a South African accent.
I like
Thank you.
Guy
that was
back in
my major from high school. I had a high school that was filled with way too many of the South African fuckwits. These people wouldn't stop pissing me off. My yearbook quote was, "As we stand upon the ledges of our lives, fuck you all." And I'm proud to say they printed every word of that.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay.
Now,
all right.
Hold on. Made people point to you.
Hold on. Yep. If you want to call in and comment on anything we've said tonight, you can call us at 267-207-2491. Long distance charges may apply.
That number, once again, is 267-207-2491, Mon.
Yes.
Wow, that was bad.
It was bad, but, you know.
But it sounded like Booker T, right? I mean.
Mon?
No,
you put a Mon in the end and you think it sounds like Booker T?
He's a failure.
It's not even Kofi Kingston. What the hell are you smoking?
What Kofi Kingston smoking? Whee! It's late, guys. Well, it's not for Nick. It's only 3 o'clock for Nick.
It's all good for me. I'm hyped up on caffeine.
Right on, brother.
Yeah. The other thing is, I would lose AJ and Samoa Joe from the front line. I would use the Motor City Machine Guns to lead. Because they have the new blood angle really going for them. They've got the fuck you all mentality that we've got. That you really need in that position. Yeah. They got we are evolution shit going.
We can't have them as the leader though, because they're playing the heel, even though they're supposedly on the front line. So
you
would have
a heel match?
But
gold.
Except you've got everyone versus everyone in TNA right now, which is the same as we had in WCW, NWO versus WCW, or New Blood versus Millionaires Club. You can't have a heel group versus a heel group, even if it's just the leaders. The leaders define the group.
Also, if you watch the Motor City Machine Guns, and the reason why I picked them is because they also do babyface as well. If you actually watch the intro, everybody's putting up their hands and pointing to their palm as they come in. They've got the music that gets people excited and draws everybody in. And they've got the persona, they've got the wrestling ability, they've got the speed of match which you need to lead it.
Oh yeah, well they got the total package, but right now I think they work really well as rebels within the group.
Yeah, I think it would be better veterans versus rebels, because I liked where Sting was going in the beginning, saying this is all about the respect.
I kind of like it. It's the only thing that's really kind of different from how WCW did it, when you have young blood and veterans mixed in. Going up against these five main event.
Hold on.
Or I would leave Rhino.
Gentlemen, one second. Right now we have a caller on the line. Thank you for calling WTR. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Stevie Ray.
Right.
Now, I've been hearing what you guys have been saying about my brother Booker T, and he is from the motherland. Don't you guys be knocking his accent.
You're all from the motherland. Oh, tasteful joke number 8. Da-dum.
You got that, sucker?
Hey, Stevie, how's that job at Burger King working out?
Man, don't you worry about my damn job at Burger King. I get free Whoppers all the time. Man, I get free milkshakes, and I get the Slurpees. Yeah, King Booker hasn't come by to see me.
Stevie.
Money to get me out of the ghetto crack hole house that I've been living in.
Stevie, let me ask you this. Have you re-upped your subscription to Jerry Curl Monthly yet?
No, I haven't, man. I'm broke. Didn't you hear the brother? He said, I work at Burger King. I don't make no money. I ain't like the one guy you talking about making welfare money. I'm barely making it at Burger King.
At Burger King?
Burger King. Dude, I think he's
King.
Working
King.
A, he's working for a knockoff fast food chain.
Oh, that's bad, dude.
I like McDowell's and that Coming to America, brother.
Don't knock McDowell's, dude. That is an awesome line. That is an awesome movie.
It is an awesome movie, but Nick, you're from Australia, right, brother?
Yeah, I'm the man down under. The only man who kisses like where he's at.
What do you think about the living legend, Steve
People number
Irwin?
Seven. Number seven has arrived.
I've lost track.
Anyway.
Do you think he'd have made a great wrestler?
Alright, so
Nick,
who do
I'm not denying Booker T's wrestling ability. I mean, the best of seven series in WCW in 98-99, gold. Him versus Benoit, nobody was denying his wrestling ability. The gimmick, we are denying.
Now, hold on. I got a quick wrestling question, all right?
Go ahead.
Nick? Is Nick there?
Nick's
yes,
here.
Nick is here.
Okay, man. Like, okay, this is kind of on a personal level for me. I'm a wildlife conservationist, and what do you think about Steve Irwin being a wrestler?
I don't think you should be making those jokes with an Australian, mate.
No, it's not a joke, man. I know he was in the MMA, and he was pretty tough.
Wow. Wow, hold on. I didn't think
he was
think
not
reach...
into MMA. He was
I didn't
very,
think
very well known. He was.
I want to know who that was, but I didn't think we would reach a point where the jokes would be too tasteless for Nick.
Who was that? I mean, I am a huge Steve Irwin fan, and I didn't appreciate that.
Oh, that was Rao WWE.
Okay. Steve Irwin.
We have a new caller on the line. Another one. Welcome to WTR. Who's this?
Hey, it's JJ Sexay. What's going on?
Holy crap! It's JJ.
JJ
Lost from
Sexay.
The past, mate.
Wow.
JJ, do you
chair's mighty comfortable, JJ. I'm enjoying sitting in it.
I'm glad that you're enjoying the chair.
JJ, do you even remember me, mate?
Didn't we talk once before?
Yes.
Yeah, we talked a couple of times. I called in. This man was one of the guys who got me started on internet radio. Him and Tim Stein. When you used to do shows from Bottoms Up Sports Pub, if you're ever in the Calgary area, look
Grace.
Master Shark DiCarlo up. Best sports pub in the world over. I've never actually been there myself, but I've seen it online. Awesome place, awesome people. I missed the game, guess the T-bar. But yeah, this guy, first time I ever listened to internet radio, it was this man.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I inspired you.
No, JJ, I'm sure you didn't just call in for small talk.
Oh, you know, I was just playing a couple games online and nerd you guys tonight, so just kind of wanted
awesome.
To comment on some stuff. Wow, that was
Go ahead.
Okay. Whoa. Can't believe the dude said that, man. Steve Irwin, that's fucked up.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's not really cool. I'm not all
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, I'm huge, and I watch it every day, and Matt... That was sad.
Look,
there are a lot of assholes in the world, and you can't let every one of them get to you.
I know.
True enough.
But anyway.
We're here to talk about wrestling, not Steve Irwin.
That's right.
Right.
Talk. Rest his soul.
JJ, rant about John Cena. I know you want to.
Rant about John Cena. Well, this could take all night. I'm trying to
go
be...
Go for it. I got a lot of hours before Nightfall ends on my end. Go for it.
Well, you know, again, the guy comes in from an injury, 6 months he's out, he comes back in, he's the number one contender, and of course he beats Jericho clean. Every time he wrestles Jericho, he beats him clean, yet Jericho continues to get rematch after rematch after rematch. So where is this really going?
This is a funnel of money that goes into John Cena's wallet, and a certain man who we refer to as Vincent Kennedy McMahon, who likes the money. And likes the money from merchandise, more specifically.
Well, the only thing I can really hope that they do in the near future, and there was rumors about this, they were talking about they wanted to unify the championships and have one champion. I'm all for that. But I feel like if they do that, then we know who the champ's going to be, and it's going to be John Cena.
Yeah, but JJ,
yeah, but
we've
then
known...
the Green 2 will come out, and we'll get rid of him for a while at least.
But JJ, you and I, those that are on WTR and WNL, have argued for years about getting a reunifying the brands in a one championship show and things like that because of how much they're not utilizing the rest of the talent, and this would force them to utilize the talent to the best that they can and things like that. I mean, we've all argued this for years.
This is true. But I honestly don't see where they can go. I mean, John Cena is one of those guys, and I've said this probably a million times in the last 3 or 4 years. John Cena is a guy that is like Sting. He's better off chasing a title than holding a title.
This is true.
I'd agree with that for the very limited times we've seen him chasing a belt.
I mean, let's face it, his initial WWE Championship win against JBL, he chased it for a while. It was a good build. I wasn't happy that the match was 6 minutes long, you know, and then he was this unstoppable juggernaut. I mean, what, for 3 years he ran unopposed. Nobody could beat the guy. He was like Superman.
But JJ, sorry to interrupt you, but do you really want to be seeing JBL in the wrestling ring for more than 6 minutes? The guy can't wrestle.
No, he can't.
And to be fair, do you want to see Cena for more than 6 minutes? He can't wrestle either.
Well, really,
I remember you calling a match.
Five moves of doom.
I remember.
It's not as bad as the leg drop of doom. It's really not.
I am just getting constant flashbacks to One Night Stand 2, who like Tommy Dreamer, I like to refer to as Sloppy Seconds. But I like to think back to his match where he was versing RVD. What was the crowd cheering? Well, chanting, sorry.
RVD.
You can't wrestle.
Fuck you, Cena.
That's two.
That too.
I'm chanting fuck you, Cena, but the highlight of the night there was the guy that had the sign that said, if Cena wins, we riot.
No,
I wanted to see Cena win just because I wanted to see them riot.
Because they would have.
The highlight was seeing what the crowd was doing to his shirt, either tossing it back or wiping their ass with it.
Oh, and then toss it back at him. You could see by about the fifth time that they did it, he was getting pissed.
Well, you
dude,
know,
Cena,
oh
yeah.
Every week, and he likes to talk about how, oh, you can boo me, you can hate me, and I don't care. But let's face it, the guy obviously doesn't like the fact that he's been force-fed down our throats. He doesn't like that he's getting booed. And if you look at his fan base, we're talking about kids and females.
Mm-hmm.
What man
well, that's
do you know?
What WWE's always based itself on is chicks and kids.
Oh, yeah, because HLA brought in so many female fans.
Well, if you actually look at his T-shirt, it might say HLA or HLR. I'm not too sure. I haven't gotten quite enough attention to it yet.
It's HLR. It's loyalty, respect.
Yeah, but if you look at the shirt, the first time you see it, you go, wait, is that an R or an A?
No, you can tell it's an R right away. Only a moron from the Weaver School would go, that may be an A.
And, you know, I have to say, being an old-school wrestling fan, someone who grew up watching every federation, I was a little you know, I already hate John Cena, but come on. I mean, to go ahead and get this new T-shirt where he's pretty much stealing the AWA logo, talk about, you know, tasteless.
You saw that too? I was
getting divorced. My wife and I got into it over that one.
I was in a Walmart on Friday, which is Boxing Day for Canada and everybody else, but it's, you know, take your shit back day here in the United States. And we were I was buying some stuff with a gift card that I had gotten, and there's this girl in front of me wearing the brand new AWA style John Cena shirt. And I walked up to her and I said, "Excuse me." She goes, "Yeah." I'm like, "How long have you watched wrestling?" She goes, "Oh, I don't know, a couple of years." I'm like, "Do you have any idea what logo that is on your shirt?" She goes, "It's the John Cena logo." I said, "No, honey, that's the AWA logo." She says, "What's the AWA? Is it like TNA or WWE?" I'm like, "Wait, what? Is it?" I'm like, "They produced guys like Ric Flair. Hogan got his start there, you know?" I'm like, "Do you have any idea of wrestling history?" She's like, "No, but I know John Cena is the best." I'm like, "Can I strangle you now, please? Please."
Wow.
Can I recommend the lapel chuck?
I was thinking of just a straight elbow to the throat.
That works. I'm a big fan of the spear hand, though.
Wow.
I mean, and JJ, you and I can agree on this, that there is, and I think the bulk of us can agree that the one thing that fans today lack, or newer fans today lack, is the knowledge where wrestling comes from. Well, they don't know who Frank Gotch is. They don't know who Hackenschmidt is. They don't know who Harley Race and Bob Orton and people are like that, people who those people are. They've no idea what they've done.
Part of that is because WWE tried to monopolize the business buying out WCW, and they really don't want anything getting out. And since that's pretty much what anyone exposed to wrestling sees, just the WWE, you know, you don't think, especially as a new fan, that there's anything else out there. You think that's the be-all, end-all, because that's how they made it a few years ago.
Well, if you actually look at the vintage collection, I don't know whether you guys get this show in the States. They actually do review, you know, past pay-per-views. But you know what? It's all fucking WWE, WWF. It was like, there was one thing before WWE, and that was the WWF.
Well,
I remember one time my history teacher back in high school told me, history is written by the victor. And unfortunately, Vince has fucking won. It pains me to say that, but Vince has fucking won. He has written the history for the new fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only time you hear AWA is during the WWE Hall of Fame ceremonies.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's sad. Being here in Canada, I do have ESPN Classic, and they do replay AWA Classics on ESPN, so I watch that all the time. Recently, I've been watching the Kurt Hennig, Nick Bockwinkle, Larry Zbysko connection, which has been quite fun.
Time Warner took away our ESPN Classic.
Yeah, same here.
And Time Warner.
Yeah, they
Comcast did it to us.
Cable.
We got MTV2 instead of ESPN Classic.
I actually tracked down something in Australia, because it's impossible to find good wrestling shit in Australia. There was a very, very cool company called Payless Entertainment that I found here, and they actually bought the rights to one AWA show. And this was back, this is probably about 2002. You see, it's got Bischoff calling it with the black hair. It was the blood on the sand pay-per-view. I mean, this was such a dodgy company where you only got half of the actual show. But if you were a fan of the AWA and you couldn't track it down otherwise, you paid $8 for the tape. So you didn't fucking care. But that's only AWA tape I've actually seen.
You know, and this is one of the smart moves that WWE's done in recent years. And they're pouring more and more content into it. Is their 24/7 channel. that you can get on satellite and digital cable, because you can see the tape libraries of the companies they own now, like AWA and NWA and people like that. I mean, that to me is awesome, because yeah. I can go back and watch those matches and the old school stuff.
Well,
I'm jealous of you, JJ, though, because you guys get ESPN Classic. I really am.
I get ESPN Classic.
I have ESPN Classic and the Fight Network.
So you got ROH when it was on the Fight Network.
Exactly. So we're talking 3-4 years ago of ROH.
Right.
That's cool.
Which is good stuff. I mean, you got the heyday of ROH. Now ROH is kind of dying, and that's sad.
It is.
Don't they use ROH in the new movie, The Wrestler?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of The Wrestler, JJ, have you gone to see that yet? I know it's only been out like a week, but have you seen it yet?
It's not actually here in Calgary yet, so when it does come out, I am going to go see it.
I'm looking forward to going to see that. I think I'm going to go see it this coming week. Probably go see it like New Year's Day or something.
I've heard it's really, really good. And
that's what I've heard.
Rowdy Piper was actually there when they were filming it, and he was kind of giving Mickey Rourke instructions and how to do things. And
I've heard that Piper was there, as well as a few other legends were in on consulting on that. Now, JJ, I have to ask, what was your most disappointing moment this year in wrestling? If you had to look back on the last 365 days, what was the suckiest moment that you think of?
It happened at the Royal Rumble this year when John Cena returned.
Number 30. Yeah, that's pretty much been ours so far, is John Cena returning.
Whoa, are we doing disappointing moment or disappointing storyline?
Aren't they one and the same?
No, didn't you guys get the email I sent out of you with the list of all the stuff?
Nick, you're asking
me. Read my email.
Dude, you're asking me to pay attention to shit. I don't do that. Apparently,
he
didn't get that memo.
Okay, my most disappointing moment.
I will say
moment.
This about the WWE. The way that they brought him in was brilliant, because not even the guys knew anything about it until he walked through the curtain. Like, it was a very select few who knew that he was sitting in a limo outside. So the fact that they kayfabed everybody, they brought him in when nobody was expecting him, was brilliant. But the fact that they brought him back was the worst moment of 2008.
Oh, no, I can.
I will give you that.
I can do one worse. A lot worse, though.
Oh, boy.
I will take you back to the Slammies of 2008. A little man known as Joey Styles came out.
Oh, boy.
As far as I'm concerned, he is the best fucking alive play-by-play man at the moment. And I'm saying that because don't get me wrong, I like JR, but he doesn't have that same feel to him as Joey Styles. So, I'll rephrase that. To me, he's the best play-by-play man I've ever known.
Okay,
I agree.
But
Joey,
to finish him down to the catchphrase, "Oh my God!" It is shitting on everything the man has ever done.
I like Joey Styles. I liked what he did in ECW. But the thing is if you look at JR and his body of work, JR is not just a play-by-play guy. Just like Gordon Soley wasn't just a play-by-play guy. He wasn't just an analyst. They brought a different emotion and perspective to the match that was going on in the ring or in the arena at the time. And that is why I think that JR is much better than Styles. Because Styles, in certain cases, has the ability, but he doesn't have it all the time. And JR does have it all the time.
Well, now, I want to weigh in on this. I'm going to agree with you on the fact that JR has been around a long time, and he is the quintessential announcer. He's the guy you think of when you think of WWE announcers. But in the last 5 or 6 years, JR has, it's almost like he's fucking senile. He gets his facts fucked up every week. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about anymore.
Well, the Bell's palsy.
Since he's had Bell's palsy, he's just getting worse every year. So he's been inducted into the Hall of Fame. Everything that JR has done up until this point has been great, but I think when Joey Styles was put in that role on Raw, he did a fantastic job. The chemistry between him and Jerry Lawler was great, much better than, say, Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole. So for them to, I don't know, axe him the way they did and then, you know, go back with Ross and now put Michael Cole over there, I think Styles should have been the guy to get that, honestly.
Well, Vince doesn't like him.
Vince doesn't like Styles. Vince wants to crush ECW, and you and I both know that. Everybody on the panel knows that, JJ.
Do you know why Vince hates Joey Styles? Because Joey Styles is from the old school mentality from when ECW, the original, was running around. He called the fucking match. He didn't fucking talk about storyline this, storyline that. He called the fucking action in the ring. And Vince doesn't like that. And that's what's wrong with the product today. It's about telling a story in the ring, not talking about Chris Jericho and John Cena while Kofi Kingston and CM Punk are having a match.
And I totally agree. He nailed it right there.
And I will, I agree. I again will concur. I absolutely will. Part of the problem, not only is that, it's that Vince refuses to grow. And not, I'm saying that his, and I'm not saying that his company hasn't grown. Vince, you gotta look at, my worst storyline is one going on right now. And Omega will know exactly what I'm talking about. The JBL Shawn Michaels thing. And I know it's supposed to be a parallel to the movie The Wrestler. But here's the problem. We all know that Shawn Michaels isn't a down-on-his-luck wrestler. We all know that Shawn Michaels isn't broken down and working in a grocery store.
Well, fuck, he gave all his money to Jesus.
Yeah,
fair enough.
He had to. That's how much it cost to book God for his tag team match.
Fair enough.
Oh.
Fair enough. But you need to be able to go, all right, this is what's going on in society right now. This is a hot button issue. I know we can get people interested, but they need to do it in a classy way. And they're
Vince
not doing
something
it.
Classy?
Spug, did you get the email from Rock and Nick?
Yes, I'm looking at them.
All right, the one, let's see if I can find it real quick. There was a suggestion of, okay, what storyline could be tweaked, and how could it be tweaked to actually work? And I think this is it. This is the one that's under my skin right now. You could make this storyline work if it wasn't Shawn Michaels, if it was a referee, if it was a ref, believable that he's down on his luck, that he's hard up for cash, and we haven't had the crooked referee in a long, long time. So you have, you can have JBL and HBK feuding. That ref is in HBK's matches and, you know, he's planting brass knucks on Michaels to DQ him before the match even starts. He's fast counting Michaels, and you can have it to where you are playing off of this financial thing. You are feuding HBK and JBL, but you're doing it in a believable way, and you aren't just spitting in the fans' faces, you're stupid enough to believe this kind of mentality.
Right. So
the problem is this. The believability of the storyline, granted it is wrestling, the believability that Shawn Michaels, one of the top five performers in professional wrestling today, in that company that probably makes an excess of $5 million a year just to work two or three shows a week, is broke. No. No fucking way. If it was like, I don't know, one of the mid-card guys, sure. MVP, possibly. Shawn Michaels, fuck no. There's no way. No fucking way.
I think it'd be hilarious if they did that storyline with MVP and they'd start doing vignettes of him like out in the streets asking for money.
I thought it was hilarious. He lost his bonuses, so he doesn't get his bouncy ballroom anymore. He doesn't get the pyro.
Yeah, that's funny.
But and I can't fucking stand MVP.
It would work. It would work even better with a specific tag team.
Really?
Yes. And all I gotta say is their catchphrase. Money, money. Yeah.
I can see that.
They're the ones stealing from JBL.
What's that, JJ?
I could see that. They're like the Robin Hoods of the fucking Fed, you know?
Right. I mean, it would work with Crime Time.
Right.
And it would be awesome.
Crime Time, they don't get it. We're talking about people that's getting held down, that tag team ain't getting the right push.
Well, dude, the entire tag team division's getting held down. We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But, JJ.
Honestly, in the last 2 or 3 years, think about this, guys. How many times has Crime Time won some type of number one contendership or tag team tournament? How many times, have they won one of those, and how many times have they gotten a tag title shot?
None, I don't think, or maybe think once or twice.
They got one, and they had to steal the belts to do it.
Yeah.
Right. They need to put the tag belt on Crime Time.
This is again why we need title unifications. We don't need two sets of tag champions. I couldn't even tell you the other day I was thinking about it. I'm like, who the fuck are the WWE tag team champions? I totally forgot about Primo and Carlito because I don't give a fuck. There are no good tag teams anymore.
I disagree.
Kofi
Kingston and CM Punk.
Yeah,
Mongrel
but
team.
Arson. They contend with. There's one other tag team they can fucking wrestle on a Monday night. Why don't we have one tag team title for the whole fucking three brands?
Especially
because Mr. Morrison are on all three shows.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. How in the last 6 months can you remember a week where they weren't on at least two of the three shows?
They've been consistently on all three shows for the last 6 months.
Absolutely.
All right, JJ. We need to hit a break here, sir. Would you like to stay on with us through the break?
Sure.
Or do you need to get running?
Hello.
Yep.
JJ.
Guys, if you want to have me on, I'll stay.
You hang on.
Yep, I'll hang on.
Oh, cool. All right. We're gonna hit a break here on the year in review show of WrestleTalk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network. When we come back, we will be joined by JJ again. I'm the Spud Guy. That's Omega DL Nick. I'll say your name, dude. You just shut your mouth.
Bring it.
When we come back. When we come back, we'll get more into this.
Flames fan looking for a place to let your frustrations out or a place to celebrate a big win, then the official unofficial forums boards for the fans of the Calgary Flames is your home for all Flames talk. Uncensored Flames talk the way you want it. Light on the rules, tight on the Flames. It's Calgary Flames hockey talk the way it should be. Log on to www.flameshockey.ca to get in on all the action.
Mm-hmm. From geeks to gamers, and everyone in between, there is only one radio show that covers it all. That's every Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Otaku Talk Live with the Spud Guy.
Follow me down the yellow brick road, if you will. You can be the Tin Man. I'll be the Scarecrow. Actually, I'm fat. I'll be the Lion.
Omega.
Yes, I've put together a list of things to keep in mind and things to be aware of before you set out on this rather frightening experience.
And stay.
We're talking about video games. That's my particular field of expertise and my addiction. Hopefully that'll be my only addiction because I'm on a highly addictive drug right now that I'm not going to become addicted to. Might as well call me house for the night. I haven't shaved in 5 days, and I've got a gimp left leg and a prescription to Vicodin, and I'm a smartass. So I've pretty much summed up all except for not having the TV show.
Covering everything geek, from movies to video games to anime to even some unusual conversations.
Cat girls and dog men and whatever they come up with. Anthropomorphic characters.
And unfortunately, the term furry doesn't apply to the fact that they're fans of anthropomorphic characters. It applies more to the sexual nature. Dude, there are even conventions strictly paying homage to furry.
Listen live on OTL as Spoke has an aneurysm live on the air.
You see, when a mommy animal loves daddy animal.
and that's how squirrels with long ears are born.
Right.
It's Otaku Talk Live, Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 p.m. Central, on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Log on to wildtalkradio.com for more information. And as always, on Otaku Talk Live, it's okay to scream.
Watch for the blood god!
Passionate.
Jackass.
Knowledgeable.
Doesn't my brilliance astound you?
Entertaining.
Are a witness to greatness.
All words that describe the man known by two little letters, TK. Every Tuesday night, the internet airwaves will never be the same again when TK begins his tirade live from Scorchers in Medina. Covering everything from Cleveland Browns football to the Ohio State Buckeyes and everything else going on in the world of sports. Join TK for his tirade starting 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's going on? This is Lita from the WWE, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
The Matter of Fact! The Matter of Fact! The Matter of Fact!
Come get on the train! Pippin' ain't easy.
Rock, you are the man. Thank you very much for that. Welcome back to Wild Talk Radio. This
I'd
is
just like
Wrestle
to say,
Talk
I...
Radio, Sunday night. Yeah. What are you saying?
I would just like to say it's symbolic that you followed the leader comment with the ho train.
Yeah, that's how Rock rolls. He knows how to... he knows my kind of joke.
Man, he is the ultimate producer.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's the one that got in the Lita joke tonight, so bravo. I can't stop that.
The night isn't over. We're only at 7. We still have to get to 15.
We're at 7 what?
7 truly tasteless jokes. And in about my 2 pages of notes, we're 3 bullet points in, so guys, it's going to be a long show.
Oh, I'm sure Spug will make a roaring comeback. as soon as he's done pissing, which is why you have to hear me for now.
Can I finish off my... we're also joined by JJ, by the way. JJ, you still there?
I'm here, guys.
Awesome. Do you want me to finish off my TNA notes?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So first of all, as I said, using the machine gun shooting... Okay. First of all, why the fuck would you use the name Main Event Mafia? Does it actually appeal to anything? There's nothing Sicilian about the guys. Why play that fucking music?
Yeah, that
you're not
that
the
makes
fucking
no
Godfather.
Just because the mafia is in the name,
the fucking legend's belt. Booker T, you're not a legend. If you want to bring in a guy and put a legend's belt on him, I always think I'll actually hold this because it's another bullet point. I was actually thinking you should also bring in some really old school guys, like the old school tough, I will fuck you up guys, like Terry Funk,
Harley Race,
any of those guys. I was even thinking anybody. You guys saw Blood on the Mat, the documentary, right? I always get flashbacks to Stu Hart picking up those kids who thought they were tough, bringing them into the dungeon and just tapping to this really frail old guy.
You know, I gotta say, I thought TNA got it wrong in the first place. Why would you even bring a Legends title in, and why would you put it on Booker? Second of all, if you were gonna do that, why wouldn't you have had maybe Kurt Angle win the title, the TNA World Heavyweight Championship, and put that belt on maybe Sting, who is a legend? I'm just thinking. I don't know. Maybe the powers that be in creative, oh wait, we know they don't have half a fucking brain. That's why their show's in the toilet. That's why Jerry Jarrett won't even associate with them anymore. He left the company because he didn't agree with their fucking business decisions.
No, that's why Jerry Jarrett brought in one of the guys that they were going to use in TNA, and I forget who that guy was, but
Vladimir Kozlov.
The guy who became Kozlov.
Okay.
I love double D's.
Okay. Other thing I had on this list, which I really wanted to bring in, I wanted them to bring back Macho to feud with Jay Lethal. It's been building for so fucking long. Macho is sitting on the shelf. He is fucking dying to get back into the ring.
Have you seen Macho lately?
No, I haven't seen him since WCW.
He has a white beard, white hair. He fucking looks like Santa Claus.
Ooh, yeah. He's so desperate he would dye his hair. He fucking did it in WCW. I would bring it in because I bet he could still talk. I mean, if he can do a rap album, he can talk and at least do a cameo.
Problem there. He couldn't do a rap album. Have you ever heard it?
You're manly.
No,
too.
And I'm quite lucky. Yeah. The other thing is, I would actually not put guys like Rhino and Dudley's in. I wouldn't put them in the front line. I would start them off in the front line and then shift them to the Main Event Mafia, getting pissed off with the front line.
Wow, somebody ROWEWWE just said that Kevin Nash looks like the guy from Roadhouse. He's talking about Sam Elliott. He kind of does.
Okay, now I gotta look that up.
I'll say this to you. I only got TNA back. Well, I only got TNA 6 months ago. So last time I saw Kevin Nash before this was when he did his brief stint in WWE as the NWO, and before that WCW.
Wait. You mean when he ran across the ring and tore his quad, and then laid the ring for 20 minutes? Oh!
Hey guys, it's still better than Hogan, who broke his knee sitting down on his wife's good new couch.
Hey, it's still better than when Vince McMahon entered the ring at the Royal Rumble and broke both of his fucking legs.
Having to yell at the referee while sitting down.
Okay, that wraps up the TNA worst storyline.
Okay,
most improved of the year.
Can you come up with just one? I'm thinking like the whole year, 2008 for TNA is bad. Just write it off.
Oh, look, It was the worst to me. That was the worst to me.
Yeah, TNA got my worst gimmick award this year.
What for?
That was the Rock and Rave Infection. Bunch of, yeah. Okay, let's take two guys who are honestly talented, and we're going to... They're going to pretend to be rock stars with these Guitar Hero controllers, and we're going to dress Lance Hoyt up like Slash. He's going to even be dangling the cigarette through the whole damn match. And it's like, okay, this is supposed to be funny, but it's not. Oh, so maybe they're like maybe they're irritating heels, but no, it's just annoying.
What about Shark Boy 316? Give me some clam juice.
Well, now hold on a second. Rock
and Rave
Infection.
At least that has
a humor element to it.
The
whole picture. I mean, sure, it's Lance Hoyt and Jimmy Rave, but the whole reason it's called the Rock and Rave Infection is because Christy Hemme's in the group.
When she goes off the top rope and drops her leg, it's what is it, the crotch rot or something like that?
I don't know, I'm just waiting for her to get stuck to the mat one of these days.
It's the muff dive.
With a tie this year for between the boogeyman with basically the boogeyman being the boogeyman and the Carly Kiss Cam. Because the gimmick didn't fucking work for Maria. Why would it work for Carly?
There's two tasteless jokes for JJ and one for Omega.
Here's the world's... This was the worst storyline / gimmick match. The championship scramble.
Oh, God, that thing.
Agreed, and to have three of them. Three of them.
I mean, you're WWE champ for 30 seconds. That was retarded.
But it doesn't count. It doesn't count unless you win at the end of the night.
Yeah.
So when Brian Kendrick won the belt, he didn't really win the belt.
No, he didn't, and it didn't make any sense. But Mike Adamly called Jeff Harvey, you know...
Jeff Harvey?
Jeff Harvey.
I'm like, come on, you knew it was tanking right there.
The championship scramble is awful because, you know, if it ends at the 10-minute mark, then you know, well, in reality, the first 9 minutes don't really count for anything.
No, you can go out and have a beer or whatever.
Yeah.
Guys, just look at the product. What is the consistent thing going on with TV at the moment, in fact?
It's all shit.
In a show, it's all fucking filler.
Except for House. What do you think? House is awesome.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at wrestling here when I'm saying this. TNA, CCW, I'm watching my wrestling with the fast-forward remote on. I have a PVR, I watch my Raw. This morning, I went through the entire series of CCW. I went through about 4 Impacts, 3 SmackDowns, and 3 Raws. That's in about a space of about 6 hours.
Wow.
So if somebody wants to do the math of that, how much recording have I done?
That's a lot of work.
Bother with ECW. It takes me 2 minutes because I got a 30-speed fast-forward button. So I'm sitting there, if I watch ECW, it takes me 2 minutes to watch an entire show. Seriously, what the fuck do you stop for?
ECW's a joke. Point.
The funny thing is, the last time I heard an ECW chant, it was in fucking TNA.
Yeah.
It was when Rhino came out
fan.
And was rallying the troops. It might have been the Dudley Boys, I forget. But there was a fucking chant. Otherwise, last time I really can't... Yeah, they don't even fucking chant it on their own show.
You do have a point. It's not even on ECW. I've seen all the shows do it. Where, we're not going to advance a storyline. We're just going to say, hey, I don't like you. I don't like you either. And we're going to repeat this for 4 weeks straight till we get to the pay-per-view, and we're going to forget about each other's existence for like 6 months. And in between, we're going to have matches, except 90% of the matches is going to be Irish whips and punches and absolutely no real wrestling going on.
Exactly.
You know, the whole problem is, again, it all goes back to the brand split. The worst thing Vince McMahon ever did was have three brands. The stupidest thing he ever did was let go of WCW. When they bought the company and Shane was the head of WCW, that was your two brands right there. Why would you take and have a viable brand that you could have built on and destroy it because you didn't come up with the basic concept of it? You didn't come up with the basic concept of ECW either, but it's like, honestly, what was the point? That was the stupidest thing he ever did was kill that.
Actually, JJ, you're right. They could have kept three brands going. Because I reckon ECW could have worked. I still remain by that.
They all could have worked, and they all could have been pouring money into one another. And you could have actually brought up the value of ECW to WWE's value, but kept it in the bingo halls and the small arenas nationwide.
And used it to bring up your undercard talent.
Right.
As I said in the beginning of the show, for the last 10 years, it's just been nothing but downhill.
You didn't... Rao in the chat room says, you know how much it costs to run the program on the same time frame on the same day? You don't have to. The USA Network pretty much gave the WWE a license to run that network. I mean, Raw is their flagship program.
Yeah, they completely redid all their advertising just because WWE was coming back.
Right, and... You could have said, if they wanted to continue running
WCW
as the way it was, you could have put WCW on Thursday.
Exactly.
You could have put it on Thursday, or Friday for that matter. And then you don't have to televise ECW. Or if you want to, you can do one taped program, and you can conglomerate a couple of weeks of shows, because that's what they did with their syndicated stuff nationwide on a weekly basis.
And then, for WrestleMania every year, you could have had interpromotional matches, and it could have been the Super Bowl of wrestling.
Who keeps moving their microphone?
And against your WWE champion.
JJ, you're going to have to repeat that. I didn't hear a word.
Yeah, someone keeps moving their microphone. It's cutting out your audio.
Okay, what I said was, it was stupid because he could have had interpromotional matches between the WWF and the WCW at a WrestleMania. That could have been your Super Bowl of pay-per-views. It could have been the granddaddy, the biggest thing. Now WrestleMania every year isn't the big show. It's just another pay-per-view every fucking year.
I don't know. I thought last year was pretty good simply because of the Ric Flair match.
I'll
I mean, that was that
Flair
added an element
to
it that made it, you know, a big deal.
But that was, to me, that was the only WrestleMania match that had a WrestleMania feel to it.
I totally agree with JJ.
Rao, dude, you are a Mark fan. You really are, dude. You honestly think WWE gives a shit what you have to say or what any of us have to say? They don't care. Vince doesn't care. He's going to continue to pour out the same shit programming because people eat it up in droves. It's just like the Cleveland Browns and Detroit Lions. That ownership will never change what they're doing because they know the fan base will still show up every July and August and buy their season tickets and buy the merchandise because there's always that one little word, hope, that they'll get better.
Agreed.
What's that?
I agree with you there.
I mean, really. People are going to still go out and buy their replica belts. People are going to go out and buy the John Cena pajamas and t-shirts. They're going to go out and buy the figures. Because once you're hooked, there's always hope that what you're seeing is going to get better. And Vince doesn't care. As long as you're giving him your dollar, he doesn't give a shit. Because
you know,
it is broke.
At least John Cena is not going out there and acting like he's the Marine anymore, because that was the thing that really pissed me off for years. Like, this guy is nobody but a fucking wrestler that couldn't even hack it through a fucking day of boot camp when he went and fucking trained for this movie. And it just used to piss me off to no end when Jared, oh, he's the Marine. He's this and that. It's a fucking slap in the face to anyone who's ever served in the fucking military. And me being a military brat is a slap in the face to my father. And that's one of the things that I always fucking hated about that motherfucker.
JJ, in fact, I even remember when all that was happening. You actually were swearing at one point, if Cena was still the champion at WrestleMania, you would stop watching wrestling completely. It was going to be all over for you. And the only reason that he dropped the title, in my opinion, and that's fortunate, why? Because you called in today, we still have you, is he got injured.
I have to say something real quick. Row WWE in the chat room says, I tell you what, when I was in the middle of 80,000 fans, it was better than having sex with Cindy Crawford. All right, dude. So when you're in the middle of 80,000 fans watching two guys in spandex, better than having heterosexual sex with Cindy Crawford? I knew you were from San Francisco. Jesus Christ.
Now, how can you do that? You haven't even done that to know the comparison.
I've had heterosexual sex, thank you.
I'm talking to Rao. I mean, how does he know that it's better than sex with Cindy Crawford? Maybe she sucks in the sack. Maybe she just lays there like a cold fish bitching about you the whole time.
Obviously, he's named his hand Cindy Crawford. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Dude, you can find somebody so much hotter than Cindy Crawford. So much hotter. DL, if you keep scratching your chin and bumping your mic, I'm going to drive down to Moldville and punch you in your face tonight.
Can we get him a desktop mic, please?
Dude.
I had this incredible microphone and headset. And somebody's got it because somebody lent it out without asking that certain someone.
You weren't
and I,
here.
And they made names. So.
You know what? I'm having flashbacks to old WTR when Tim's fucking adjusting the microphones.
mid-segment. Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. I scooted the mic a little further away from my mouth. I apologize. That was an inconvenience to anyone.
This is my fucking
anyway. Name. Go ahead, JJ.
You know, if I'm Vince McMahon, and obviously I'm not, but if I'm Vince McMahon, you know what? Changes have got to be made, and you got to look at ending the brand split. If you want to have three shows, fine. Have three shows. But you've got to end the damn brand split. Just fucking have a big press conference, fucking conference everybody in, have one champion for every show. Bring back the prestigious Intercontinental title. Bring back your original tag team title belts. Go back to the original titles that names held. I'm talking the Winged Eagle belt, the guys like Hogan, Savage, Warrior, all the big legends in the business wore.
Wait,
instead of
hold on, JJ.
Their fucking belt that Triple H still carried. I don't understand that one. I'll never
JJ.
Understand why they never changed that belt. Honestly, you've got to go back what made the product successful. You got to bring some credibility back to the product, and you can't do it having three different championships, three different mid-card championships. It just isn't working.
JJ, I have to say something real quick. You just put Warrior and Legend in the same sentence.
Well, granted, he's not a great wrestler, but when you think of legends in the 80s, I'm sorry, Warrior's at the top of the list. When you think of the video game they're making, Legends of WrestleMania, Hogan, Savage, and Warrior are the top three that I can think of when I think of Legends of WrestleMania.
Why not Undertaker?
Curiosity is, are we going to go into the differences between Legend and Icon?
I was making a bad joke, Nick. Really. Okay. But honestly, though, I mean, you can also throw Taker's name into that list of legends of WrestleMania.
Because he's been around that long, and he's had the impact in the business, so I would agree with that.
Right. Here's the thing, and I will agree with you that the brand split does need to end, but they can do it almost like an invasion-type angle, where one show thinks it's better than the other.
and
goes to take it over. They could, and it would work. And here's the thing. You need to take ECW off of television.
Well, hold on.
You need to take it off of a Tuesday night program. Put it on a Saturday night somewhere on Sci-Fi or on USA. It doesn't matter. But it does not need to tour around with Raw or SmackDown. It needs to tour around on its own. You want these guys to get TV time and learn to do things your company way, then use that as the springboard to the two big shows. Don't have it tour around with the two big shows. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I agree.
That's my...
Here's the problem. They already did the invasion once, and we know that WWE couldn't pull it off to save their own skins. The problem you have with reuniting the brands is that it would take some tremendous writing to keep everyone occupied when there's only one top-tier belt, one middle-card belt, and one set of tag belts. And right now, you don't have storylines good enough for three shows, let alone one where you're trying to get everyone from the top card in at once and all the deserving mid-carders in at the same time.
Am I the person getting flashbacks to the writer's strike when DX was together for a bit and Shawn Michaels said to Triple H, "Who writes this shit?" And Triple H said, "No one does. They're all on strike."
No one's been writing shit for them for years.
Come back. That's what I want to know. Apart from Tiny Dick Johnson.
No one likes.
ROWE's idea of a good time, but not my personal preference.
No, JJ.
Yeah.
Question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
2008 question for you. I'm going to go off my email checklist here of stuff. We've already gone over worst storyline and all that. But here's one for you. Best match of the year.
Wow, that's were we talking TNA and WWE?
Everything.
Wrestling, yeah.
Well, TNA don't have
it. The one that stands out the most to me would have to be, on, and I thought it was a great match just because of the guys that were in it. I'm going to have to go with Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho, the ladder match.
The ladder match?
Yep.
Let's go around the table here. Let's start running down the big categories. Let's try and wrap this up here by 1 a.m.
My time or your time?
My time.
I've still got enough shit to go to 1 a.m. my time.
Yeah.
No.
You got to try and wrap it up at 1. I'm getting.
Well, hey guys, my phone is actually about to die. I can hear it beeping on me, so I'm gonna go ahead and cut on out here. But that's my pick for best match of the year. It was good checking in with you guys. Have a good rest of the show, and I'll holler at you guys later.
All right, that is the one and only JJ Sexay, former host here on Wrestle Talk Radio. And
that
now,
is J-E-double-F, J-A-double-R-E.
Shut up.
Oh, be quiet.
But now host along with his wife, Tits Boom Boom McGee. Go and check them out if you want a different opinion. But do check our show out, too. I'm telling you, everybody go over there and not listen to us. But you need to listen to us, too. But anyway. Back to the main candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he just did his best match. So let's go around the table. And best match of the year. We'll start with, let me flip a coin. Omega.
Yeah. See, he likes me best. let me get the other obvious one out of the way. WrestleMania, HBK, and Flair.
Okay. All right, now we'll go on to.
Are we going to explain why?
I don't need to explain mine.
He doesn't need to explain that one.
Yeah. It's Flair's last match. It's HBK.
Right. Go on. DL, you're next.
He's now everyone's silent.
Yeah, now dead air, bad.
We emailed you this shit to have it ready.
No one emailed it to me. That's the problem.
You've watched wrestling all year.
To be fair, it's a pretty shitty year.
Yeah.
I really like the CM Punk Rey Mysterio match at Armageddon.
Okay.
Who's next? Dead air, not good. Dead air, not good.
Okay.
JJ leaves and we all shut up.
Very, very different. This is one you're not going to see coming, guys.
Uh-huh.
Primo and Carlito versus the Major Brothers for the World Tag Team titles.
Oh.
Here is why. Because Primo and Carlito, first of all, it admits WWE needed to backtrack with them, with setting them up to feud and realizing that, hey, these boys can wrestle. Might be worth giving them a try together as a tag team. Ooh, we fucked up. Let's leave them together. And the Major Brothers, because it had that... First of all, it was wrestling. You don't get to see enough actual wrestling anymore.
Right.
I was sitting there and going, this match could have run in 1998. It's at the same standards. They're not trying to come up with any bullshit gimmicks. It's a match for the title. It's good wrestling. It's not sports entertainment. It's wrestling. You're seeing holds. You're seeing throws. You're not just seeing bullshit. There were no bullshit promos for it. It just happened. It was now a clean finish.
Now you're talking about the Major Brothers. That's Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder.
Yes.
I've got
Primo
one.
Primo and Carlito as a tag team. Hell, I put them down as my tag team of the year. Co-tag team of the year.
Co-tag team of the year.
I've got another one there. We'll get to that later.
Mm. I've got one that's a little more obscure than his.
I've got one from WW as well.
No, you only get one, dude. You don't get to go, here's my best TNA, No, you pick one. One.
No, that's the best match.
Okay.
But I had a mate who tracked me down a WW tape from this year. They're hard to find.
My favorite of the year was probably Jeff Hardy versus Triple H from No Mercy. That was my best match. And I love the Flair. Dude, I loved the Flair-Shawn match. It was a fantastic match. Loved it. But you had to look at it and look at what it was building up to. And we all knew that that point was coming.
Right.
Mine was that there was no, no permanent implications between the Hardy, behind the, or for the Hardy, Triple H storyline as far, other than being champion. Nobody was retiring, nobody was leaving the company. It was just an all around good match. And I think that those two work very well together in the ring. They really do.
Now,
yeah, we go into the contrast here?
No. I want to save that for last.
Oh, we're going negative last here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Feud of the year.
I get a feeling that there's going to be consensus on this one. Could be wrong.
All right. Well, we will go in reverse, and we'll start with Nick.
I'm betting nobody's got this one. Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt.
Really?
Here's my reason. There was something about it that was just so familiar, which I liked. It was, I don't even know why they make out SoCal Val to be so hot. I mean, she's a butterface. Come on, I'm calling a spade here. But
okay.
It was an, you saw it coming. It was a good build-up. The wedding ring on a pole match, it kind of left a bit of a bad taste in my mouth. But let me put it this way. There's a reason why I've been drinking so many energy drinks to wash the bad taste of this year out of my mouth. excuse me. Excuse me. But it was just a consistent old school storyline. It was no Vince Russo bullshit. It was an angle which hasn't been done in a while, which I like. Give me a little leeway here. I actually had a friend, I have a friend who, I just discovered recently she was a wrestling fan. And I mentioned, you know, I do this show and she was saying, oh, I love John Cena. And I was like, why? And she was going, okay, what do you reckon the best feuds are? And so that's what got me thinking. And I was like, the best feuds aren't real feuds or the traditional stuff. If I think back to the best match I've ever seen, it was a Nitro with DDP versus Sting. And it was because they weren't feuding. It was a match with respect. And that's what, this kind of has the old feel of a feud with that 1990s reason. The end of the 90s, like the Stacy Keibler angle. But yeah, that's what I picked. If that was, did I actually give a reason in that?
I think so.
Kind of. Anyway, continue. We'll go to DL Havoc again.
I'll say this. When you're trying to be Jay Lethal and trying to do everything exactly like Macho Man, I am thrilled when you actually do the exact same marriage angle and it doesn't follow through the same way.
So you're picking the same one as me?
No.
No.
But I'm saying I like that aspect of that feud.
All right. Continue. DL. Dude, why is it whenever we get to you, you're like silent?
Because I go into deep thought.
Hmm.
Do you have to put your blue thinking helmet on?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's, I mean, honestly, this may seem, I don't know. I'm not a big main event guy. So when I go to thinking of a feud, I really, really liked the CM Punk Chavo Guerrero feud. I mean, think about it. I mean, out of all the obvious feuds, none really appealed to me this year. Other than the Jericho Shawn Michaels one maybe would be another one, just because how personal they tried to make it.
Okay.
I mean,
I thought
that was really good. I mean, so, yeah, I would say it's tied between CM Punk, Chavo, and Shawn and Jericho.
All right, Omega?
That is my pick, Jericho and HBK.
Okay.
It's not just the fact that I loved how long that went on, but they still managed to keep it fresh, and they still managed to do new things with it, which is what a long-running feud should be able to do. It was also the fact that you had two of the best wrestlers you could have put in the ring at the same time. Both of them could work phenomenal matches. Both of them play off each other's styles really well. And it really put a lot of life into the whole storyline. And what I liked about it best was that even though Jericho was playing this condescending heel, he was right. You know, when he's blaming the fans for siding with HBK even after, you know, he cheats to win, or, you know, there's a hypocrisy going on and the fans are cheering like, you know, sheep being led, and he's absolutely right about that. And it's something that it's a refreshing angle to take it to where, you know, it's easy for a heel to go out and say, okay, 15,000 people, y'all suck. That's real easy. But to actually call the audience on their bullshit made Jericho great this year.
Fair enough. I'm going to go in a direction that everybody's going to go, huh? CM Punk versus William Regal.
Huh?
Explain.
Has that one even begun yet, technically?
Well, you think back to their day that they did fight for the King of the Ring over the summer.
That wasn't much of a feud, though.
But it, you look at their matches. You look at the matches that they put on, and who said a feud had to be anything spoken? When William Regal comes out to the ring to watch CM Punk wrestle, and you see the way that those two look at each other, there's an important psychology going on there that not everyone's going to, you know, pick up on right away. It's a subtlety thing, and I love it. I love it when it makes you think. It's boring when a guy comes out and goes, I want to beat your ass because you suck. I want to beat your ass because you suck. Let's fight. Boring. Absolutely.
AKA ECW.
Hey, that's WWE's next script.
Yeah, how do you get the new script? Spug's on the writing team now.
Right.
Yeah.
That, well, that's two for Omega. Cha-ching. But no, seriously, I that was probably my favorite feud. Is CM Punk and William Regal, and I think it could be very good, given a long time to expand. So, all right, now we will move along to the MVW Award, the Most Valuable Wrestler, and it's not just being a main event wrestler or things like that. It's you also have to look at what they've done for the company, and things like that. And my vote, I will start at this time. My vote is going to one John Cena, as far as I have to say.
Wait, what?
Whoa, what?
Now,
explain.
Hold on.
Explain.
Hold on. John Cena not only continues to bring fans in on a consistent basis with his merchandise sales, and while his wrestling isn't the greatest, and it could be better, John Cena also donates countless of thousands of hundreds of thousands of dollars to national and local Boston area charities. He goes on Make-A-Wish trips. He does the tribute for the troops every year. He does things other than just wrestle. And, you know, it's like you and I have this argument all the time, DL, when it comes down to the MVP voting for baseball or football, when everybody thinks you have to be a playoff contender, you have to be in a playoff contending team to win the award.
Right.
And I totally disagree with that assessment. I am as much as I don't like the way John Cena's gimmick is ran, you cannot deny what he brings into wrestling. As far as he does have a passion for the business, he does have a passion for the fans and what he does, and when they allow him that little bit of freedom, he runs with it and makes the best of it. And like the one night when they did the little throwback to the Thugonomics gimmick, and he just went insane with it. I like it when they do that. He does, he does things the right way, and I'm not going to argue with it, even if I don't like the gimmick and where it is now, and that is why he gets my vote for MVW of the year.
Next.
Omega.
We'll go to DL next.
All right. My MVW of the year is going to be Matt Hardy.
Okay.
To me, I think a lot of wrestlers look down on the ECW championship, and Matt Hardy over this past year has done more in the WWE than I believe anyone else has. I mean, I think as a big brother to Jeff, he's trying to keep him clean and trying to keep him out of trouble, showing him the opportunity he's got, and he's kind of taken what's given to him. And, I mean, a lot of people look at the ECW title as a demotion. Matt Hardy makes it look like, hey, this is, to people, a world title. Is anyone, I mean, and he got to hold the United States title, and he had a stint with the tag team titles. And I mean, he's always, before then, he was getting beat a lot, you know. He's always getting to be, like, the guy that never wins. And to me, I think Matt Hardy, after everything that's been going on in his life, I think he's one of the true, how do I want to say this, true purest wrestlers that are in the WWE right now. He brings what credibility you can to ECW because he's got that I'll take on anyone mentality. And that's who I pick for MVW. And everyone's
fair enough. Thinking,
you are nuts.
we'll go Omega next.
Oh, Spug is not going to be happy. My MVW this year is Edge.
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
You look at that SmackDown brand, and we discussed it. Vince's refusal to create new heels and actually take a risk with somebody and actually accomplish something for a change. SmackDown this year wouldn't have been anything without Edge. I mean, like him or not, like what they've done with him or not, he's made the show interesting, and he's made a lot of good wrestlers have some good chases for the belt. And he's going to feud with Jeff Hardy, and you know those two are going to be great in their matches. He's had good matches all year round, and yeah, I don't like the whole Vicky angle, but that's Vicky's fault, not Edge's. But really, he's played a great character, he's done a great job, his feud with The Undertaker was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I said it, SmackDown would be a rotting corpse right now if he wasn't on that show as the lead heel.
Agreed. I agree. Absolutely agree.
And the Nicholas.
And Nick is last.
Okay, I've got one, and I've got some notable mentions on this as well.
Get one! One! You pick your MVP. We're not giving notable mentions.
I'm giving notable mentions. Deal with it.
No, you're not!
I'm picking Beth Phoenix. Simple
Rock,
whoa.
Rock, hang up on him immediately.
Fuck you, Spug.
The words Beth Phoenix and MVW should never, ever, ever come out of your mouth in the same sentence. Ever.
Okay, let me finish my thought process, then you can critique it. How's okay. That sound? Simple reason. I'm so sick of seeing fucking pudding lickers. If you look at the people who are putting the title on, that is JJ's wife's quote, and I'm proud to admit
that
it's
her
quote.
That is three for Nick.
But here's the thing. Not my joke, it's Harmony Jackson's quote, also known as Tits Boom Boom McGee. But here's the thing. You look at Beth Phoenix, she's got credibility. I fucking can't stand it when they put the belt on Candice Michelle. And I'm also saying this now because she's my worst wrestler list.
Wait, what? Hold on.
Okay.
What?
I can't fucking...
Beth, you used two words that never go in the same sentence. Beth Phoenix and credibility. I watched her in a match 2 weeks ago, and she picked the chick up for a vertical suplex and couldn't even hold her. Couldn't hold her and hang vertical suplex. Don't give me that. She brings credibility. You've got tons of women wrestlers there that have more credibility than Beth Phoenix will ever have. You've got Mickie James. You've got Victoria. You've got plenty of credible women's wrestlers. And you want to say that Beth Phoenix brings credibility back to the women's division? Come on, dude.
But in 08, she did. They didn't give anybody else a run with it.
He's got a...
This is what you're forgetting. Mickie James, they made her out like a schmuck.
That's not Mickey's fault.
I'm not blaming Mickey, but this is the reason why I picked her. It's what she has done
for the 08 year in the women's division. That's why I picked her.
Okay,
I agree with Nick.
Why do you like John Cena? No. Why did you pick him? Because you thought he did the best thing for the industry of 08. That's why I'm picking Beth, because I reckon she did the best thing for the industry. If you look at her work with Santino, she's made Santino who he is today. Do you remember?
You have a valid point. You have an absolute valid point. I'm only attacking your pick on her wrestling ability because I think she's just an absolute joke there.
Now, he's got an actual point here, though.
He admitted it.
How many?
I didn't say she was a great wrestler. I said what she did for the industry.
How many years has it been where the women's title was basically, hey, you're going to get to see my tits next in Playboy title? And they just put it on somebody just to promote them. Oh, we're going to appear on a magazine cover. Woo! And that's all the title was for. It was just for promoting that.
I agree. I understand what he's saying. I absolutely understand what he's saying. But if you think of Beth Phoenix, okay, the only thing you really hear about her is her matches and what she's done in the ring. And if you've ever sat down and watched a Beth Phoenix match, she screws up more than I've seen the way Tori used to screw up and blow spots, or Candice Michelle. And you know what? Maria is probably one of the most improved female wrestlers I've seen. She's come a long way.
But I think all the divas aren't that good with the ring psychology. You know,
not true. Not all of them.
Not all of them, but I'm just saying most of them. That's why you're only seeing maybe a handful of the divas sticking around, like Michelle McCool and Maria.
Don't start me on Michelle McCool. Do not start me.
Sorry, but I didn't know.
I don't want to get into a long ass debate about divas and women's wrestling.
I just want to use one quote. I want to quote myself, and I know this is not a good thing, from the last time I did WTR. As long as she's blowing Taker, we're stuck with her.
I actually told somebody, maybe they broke up because she lost the title.
To Maria, for how long?
No, it wasn't even to Maria. It was to Maurice, who could be another candidate for worst of the year.
Anyway.
But if you're going to go for best female, Natalya all the way. Natalya Neidhart.
Probably.
That chick couldn't fuck you up.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, we need to take a break here real quick. So we are going to do...
I need another energy drink.
Yeah. We're going to go around real quickly and do worst gimmick of the year, and then we'll come back for one last segment of the show. So
I want to send Nick some Red Bull.
Can I set something straight? Red Bull's 80 milligrams. The shit I'm on is 190.
It sounds like you
mean
and
like if I really need to crack Bull, into but... it, I've got the coffee ones, and they're 240s.
Right. Wow. Real quickly, let's do worst gimmick.
I think I said mine already with the Rock and Rave infection.
We already covered that one.
Yeah, I said Curry Man and Shark Boy.
Wait, I thought that was your worst tag team. I thought we were talking about worst gimmick.
No, we already did it.
Yeah, we already did that.
I didn't throw mine in. God damn it.
Throw it in.
Throw it.
Edge. Edge and Vicky. The Edge Vicky gimmick. Not the Edge character, but the Edge Vicky gimmick.
How about Vicky, period?
That too. All right, well, we got two minutes. Let's do best gimmick real quick.
Best gimmick.
Mr. and Mrs. Phoenix, Glamorella.
All right,
also
there's...
awarded good commendations to the Honkometer.
All right, well, we got Nyx. Omega?
Save us. Save me. Chris Jericho.
All right. DL?
I'm with Nick. I like the whole Glamorella thing. There's one bright spot in WWE. There's nothing that makes me laugh harder than watching Santino chop up the English language.
Fair enough. I am going to go with Kofi Kingston.
Oh, you don't like the boom, boom, boom.
Just because Kofi Kingston, every time I see him come out, you see the crowd get all energetic and he's all into it. You know what? I'm going with Kofi Kingston.
Oh, no one went with Haas.
I forgot about him.
Exactly.
He was my runner-up. He came out dressed as Beth Phoenix. I never thought I'd stop laughing. With the fake title,
Santa
doing the
Haas.
Same pose. Santa Haas.
Santa Haas.
Or Brett the Hitman Haas.
Brett the Hitman. You know what? I'm changing that. I'm going with Haas as mine. There we go.
That's pure gimmick, though. That's not like, hey, this is who I am backstage, only like overkill. That is all old school gimmick.
I know. I love it. All right. We're going to take a break real quick. We'll come back for one last segment and go through the rest of the awards. Here on the 2008 wrap-up show. Thank you for joining us. Quick rundown of the chat room before we go into break. I've got Brass Eye, Omega, Rockin' Sock, myself, Amy Wan, DL Havoc, Fan for Life, JJ Sexy, Nick, Wrestling Fanatic, Rao WWE, Simranjit, I don't know if he's from India,
yeah.
Stockett, Tonio, and Y2 Jericho.
Is that the Chris Jericho?
Not sure.
I think he's got better things to do.
Thank you for joining us. We will be back for one last segment here on the Wrestle Talk Radio 2008 wrap-up show right after these words from our sponsors.
Ever wondered what happens when you lose a bet on the Wild Talk Radio Network?
Stone Cold. I can see the byproduct of your semen when I look to the right and look at Cerny.
What?
Ugly motherfucker. You and him.
What?
You bald, small dick piece of crap.
What?
I swear to God, that stunner's the most ridiculous-looking finishing move I've ever seen.
What?
Who thought about kicking somebody in the balls and then pulling them down by their neck? Wow, you are a jackass.
What?
I can't stand you. I can't stand when you come on and start talking about beer and asking what. I've heard what 5 million times. I don't need to hear it again. If I hear what again, I'm probably going to fucking commit suicide.
What?
All your material is old. It's all reused, it's all washed up. You were good for maybe 6 months, and then it got old.
What?
And that's actually true, by the way. It got old after a long, long time.
Good point. Keep going.
You suck. I can't stand your music. I can't stand your in-ring persona. Your promos are just god-awful. You say the same things every time, just in a different way.
What?
I hate you. I'm really trying here, fuck, I am.
What?
I cannot believe I ever pledged my allegiance to someone like you when I could have listened and rooted for someone more charismatic like The Rock.
What?
Or Owen Hart.
What?
Or Vince McMahon.
What?
But no, I chose you. Why? So you could go away with a broken neck injury and be out for 2 straight years, came back after a year and then left again?
What?
You always get my hopes up that you were going to win the title, so you were going to be somebody I could follow.
What?
But no, you couldn't stay healthy, you frickin' no-talent hack.
What?
Nobody likes you.
What?
Just go away. You could die in a fiery mudslide. The Condemned was probably the worst movie I've ever seen.
What?
You went and you killed 9 people, and then you...
And you're done.
Thank you. Are you happy?
What?
Tune in for more moments. Just like this each week on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Attention Wild Talk Radio Network fans. Are you looking for a show that is wholesome? A show that is family-oriented and kids-friendly? And a show that is filled with politically correct humor? Then tune in to the WTR Network every Saturday night at midnight Eastern for all things G-rated.
Hold on. Fuck that politically correct bullshit. Tune in Saturday nights for No Limits Extreme Conversation, covering everything from, well, just about anything you can possibly imagine. If you can think it, it will be talked about and more live Saturday nights on Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wild Talk Radio Network brings you a great enhancement for your internet browsing experience, the WTR Network Internet Toolbar. It's free, it's handy, it's very useful. The built-in toolbar incorporates the world's biggest default search engine, Google, so you can be sure your searches turn up the results you would expect. Not a Google fan? Switch your search engines to ExactSeek. Our toolbar is loaded with features and extras. A weather tracker, built-in radio, lots of gadgets with games and info. And it's fully customizable. The WTR toolbar has no spyware, no malware, won't automatically reset your homepage or personal settings. In addition, we have incorporated a scrolling ticker for alerts and updates. Plus, you can contact and reply to messages and updates through the message center. Add any RSS feed you want as well. The toolbar also has a built-in pop-up blocker that is more than just on or off. Get the WTR toolbar today. It's 100% free and a great enhancement to your web browsing experience.
Cause your opinion don't matter. It's a maniac. It's gonna step on whomever.
Hi, this is Eric Bischoff, former president of World Championship Wrestling and former general manager of WWE's Monday Night Raw and, oh, by the way, New York Times best-selling author of Controversy Creates Cash. You're listening to WTR Sunday Nights.
You hear the clock ticking,
tick tock.
You about to stop living,
tick tock.
I want you to remember me,
tick tock.
But the dead don't have no memory.
I'm coming.
Nobody can stop me.
Ain't nobody can hold me.
Ain't nobody control me.
I'm coming.
I'm here to do my thing. I'm here to bring the pain.
I'm never ever gonna change.
I'm coming. Nobody can stop me. Nobody can hold me. Nobody control me.
I'm coming.
I'm here to do my thing. I'm here to bring the pain.
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio, the year in review show for 2008, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm the Spud Guy, Omega, and Nick, and DL Havoc. We are back for you for one last segment. So, welcome back to all of you in the chat room, and all of you stuck around for our marathon show. It's running on 3 hours now. Chat room's been going crazy tonight. I hope they come back.
Yeah, this is nice.
I hope they come back for our next show. And before
whenever
we get it, well, I'm going to get to that. Rock and I were talking earlier in the week, and Rock, if you have the ability to join us right now, if you would, please. Rock and I were talking
earlier in the week, and him and I have kind of decided to take over Russell Talk Radio.
Sorry, Tim. Really?
Literally. Hence the "we're taking over" soundbite at the beginning of the intro.
Right.
We are thinking, instead of, because there isn't enough that goes on that there needs to be a show every week. So Rock and I have decided between ourselves that we are going to do a show every 2 weeks, and then after the pay-per-view is to kind of review the pay-per-view. And every 2 weeks gives us four total shows, you know, one, two Raws, two SmackDowns, and unfortunately two ECWs, but I really don't include those, to kind of review in that two-hour period. So, of course, you know Omega and I are going to host it, co-host it. But, since we have two other hosts with us right now, I would like to invite them to be new permanent hosts of the new Wrestle Talk Radio with us.
And they're so speechless, they're not going to say a damn thing.
No, I'll say something. Look, I have a very strange work schedule. When I can, I will.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a puppeteer, I work half days. So if we're going to start this time, about 90% of the time, I'm good, but I'm in.
Nice.
Cool.
As long as you can continue putting up with me, I'm in.
Well, then, there we go. There's one.
What's one?
Wow.
Were you not paying attention for the last
I had to go take care of my 2-year-old real quick.
Dude, I just invited you to be a permanent co-host on the show.
Of course, I will. Did you really have to ask?
Yes, I did, because we had to do it live on the air.
Right.
So when Tim listens to the archives, he could send me a nasty email full of of swear words about us taking over.
Now listen, I've done this with Omega. I've really had a blast doing this with Nick. It's pretty cool to do a show with a guy halfway across the world.
Right, but this is the new, you know, the new WTR crew.
Until Tim wants to take the show back.
Until Tim wants to take it back.
What's he gonna do it by himself?
No.
Four of us and one of him.
He'll probably replace one of us with himself.
Correct.
No.
But when he wants to show back, it's all his. When he gets Indeed. Back in the mood.
Yeah. When he gets the hair up his ass again to come back and do the show, great. It's all his. But until then, we will continue to be here, and I hope that each and every one of you that are in the chat room will continue to be here. We're not doing a show weekly, it's every 2 weeks.
And we'll post a schedule on the site somewhere. We'll have the dates and whatnot. We'll get all that settled in the next week or so.
Yeah, so, because there are going to be months where there are, like, three shows in a row because of the way the pay-per-view schedule falls. But right now, it's every other week, so that it gives us a break, because you can't really, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and just to clarify, we mean WWE pay-per-views, because we could give a rat's ass about TNA.
Right.
The New Year's Revolution is this show.
Dead.
Coming back in 2009. That's New Year's Revolution. I'm reading the chat room.
Right. New Year's Revolution is that WTR is returned. That's the New Year's Revolution.
Right.
Not that... They canned that crappy WWE pay-per-view a long time ago, thank God.
Yes.
So we'll be back for the Rumble.
No, actually, our next show date... today is the... 28th. Our next show date will be January 11th. January 11th at 10 p.m. right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Actually, if I'm joining, can I get one request?
You can talk about all the TNA.
No. One request for a show. This involves a bit of work on all our ends.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since it I've happened, I've always wanted to do a show about it with some comments.
And that is?
WCW Invasion, where they fucked up, what they should have done.
Do we really have to hash that out again? Haven't we always had this? We've had this conversation all the time. I mean, the last show... that you did, where you were the main host, I mean, you and Omega did it, and I called in, and we got into this long, long debate about it.
It's something I'm passionate about. I even went out and bought the DVD to the Invasion show.
Oh, my God.
To Australia isn't cheap. It costs more for the shipping than it did for the DVD.
I will say, one of my favorite matches is on that show, the... Jeff Hardy RVD street fight.
That is a good one. You know what, DL? I'm getting your headphones back this week, dude. I'm tired of fucking moving your mic. It's annoying the shit out of me.
Dude, I've been sitting here the whole time and haven't moved.
That's a lie.
To move to Australia, I bought my headset for $6.
Oh,
we get the shit from China so cheaply, it's not fucking funny.
Can I move in with you until I can get a job and...
All right, anyway, we got 15 minutes left. We've got 15 minutes left in the show. We've done best match, best feud of the year, MVW. We've done worst wrestler.
No, we haven't. You're keeping the worst to last.
I'm keeping the worst to last, but we've done best gimmick and worst gimmick. All right, let's do the top three right now. And we're going to combine the one of best and worst tag team.
Jeez.
Who are we starting with?
We'll start with, I'll start it. Best tag team for me is the tag team of Kofi Kingston and CM Punk. My worst tag team is Cody Rhodes and DiBiase Jr.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
I will now Omega. Throw you Omega.
Let's see. Best tag team, easily Miz and Morrison.
Okay.
I like how they've evolved over the last year from that odd couple to just these two guys that really mesh really well. And they're being asked to work the hardest schedule I've ever seen between traveling through all the shows. Some shows they wrestle twice in one night for. But I'm starting to really respect their work because they've only improved despite how much they're being asked of right now.
Yeah. But is it me or are they starting to get a following?
Oh, they are.
They are.
That's why, okay.
They're starting to hit that point where fans have seen so much of them being consistent and working well that they're building some honest-to-God face heat out of pure respect, which is something that, you know, that's what Austin and The Rock... Yeah, that's like what Austin and The Rock did for a lot, which elevated them to the main event. Of course, right. Last time it happened was with Christian, and, you know, they shafted him for it.
Right, okay.
I don't know about a worse tag team.
You can go TNA for that.
Oh, yeah, I could pick just about anything from there, couldn't I?
Right.
I'll have to go with Rock and Rave again.
Okay.
Because I fucking hate that gimmick.
It is. It's right. Retarded. The Guitar Hero crap. And
all right, let's go to Nick.
I had a tie for best tag team. Primo and Carlito.
Okay.
Gold. They just belong together. And the Motor City Machine Guns.
Okay.
I like everything about them. I like the fact that they come in with the music. They're heels, but they also have the same sort of thing as John and Morrison. They walk out, they get the respect, they pull them in. I mean, as I said, if you actually watch TNA, you will see they are absolutely heels, but they get a lot of cheers when they come in.
Right.
And the quality of their matches is very, very high. And I genuinely believe them as a tag team. A lot of tag teams now are just two guys thrown together. And I don't like that.
No, I don't either.
Okay.
I didn't actually get told we were doing a worst tag team. So
yeah, that one got thrown on me, too.
But I'm going to have to go for Crime Time.
Ooh.
Just because they've done one thing that pissed me off. They have done something that pissed me off, and this is a very Ric Flair response. They stole the title.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that.
I think that there are some things that shouldn't be done, and that's one of them. I remember Ric Flair coming in and saying titles should not be disgraced. And he said, back in the AWA, a wrestler had to put up 20 grand to be the champion. And this is going back into the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And 20 grand back then was a lot of money. And if you're putting up 20 grand of your own money to say you're not going to disgrace the title, you didn't fucking disgrace the title.
All right. Now, we got that out of the way. The I can't believe that just happened moment of the year.
Oh, hey, don't worry. I won't say my favorite tag team. That's right.
Oh, I forgot about you. I'm sorry. And now DL last.
Thanks. I appreciate that, partner. Now, is this tag team in wrestling?
Yes, you can't say us. We don't count.
I was going to go worst wrestler tag team, IOD. But,
that one does count, sir. Very, very well done.
No, the best tag team for me, geez. That's a tough one. Let me think this out.
Oh my god, dude, we have 9 minutes left in the show.
Okay, I actually like, personally, Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase. Just because I'm all for the past and all that. Worst tag team? Oh, man. I'm going to have to go with Team 3D. I think they're just getting ran in the mud in TNA. They talk about having a legacy of a name. Well, you're losing credibility in TNA. And that's all I got to say about that.
All right. Now the I can't believe that just happened moment for me is the CM Punk winning the WWE title. Especially on a Raw.
Right.
That was mine. We will go to DL second.
When they put the Main Event Mafia together.
Okay. Nick?
Mine's more of a can't believe that they actually could fuck up that badly moment.
That's why I voted for the Main Event Mafia.
Good sir, I could do one worse.
Okay.
One a lot worse. His name is Adam Lee. Mike Adam Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
MGM, biggest fucking mistake of all time.
Okay, alright. Omega?
Just because I thought it was something that would never happen in a million years, Triple H drafted to SmackDown.
Alright.
That's a good one.
Those are good ones. All right. The worst decision of the year. I am going to go with the breaking up of Lawler and JR and putting Cole on Raw. I'll go with Nick next.
I'm back in Adam Lee. Mike Adam Lee.
All right.
Anywhere near the ring? Anywhere near? In the arena is a fad. Bad move.
All right. We got it. You're going Mike Adam Lee. All right. DL.
Any match that TNA throws together?
Okay. All right. Now Omega.
Adam Lee as the GM. Followed by Adam Lee as an announcer. Followed by Adam Lee as a commentator.
Okay. All right. Now.
Another man who's been waiting anxiously with anticipation, his name is Jeff Harvey.
All right. Now here we go. Here we go. We got the two big ones. First, we're going to do worst match of the year.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm going to start. I'm going to start with Omega.
Cage match: Vince McMahon versus Hornswoggle.
Okay. All right, Nick.
Midget beating. Pointless.
I can't. Okay, I'll tell you the show it was on. I can't remember who was wrestling. It was WDEW. I tracked down indie tapes, people. WEW, the first match on the 24th of the 7th. I can't remember who was wrestling. It was just bad.
Just stick to the two big ones, dude.
Oh, because I was going to go with Morbid and anyone he wrestled.
Oh, slam! You know what? That puts DL on the board in our little game. Finally, everybody's on the board tonight.
Okay, anything out of ECW.
All right, wow, that's two. Wow, Nick, good job. All right.
I've got more than two up there.
All right. You've got 4 points. I am actually in the lead with 10.
Where's the decision?
All right. So we've got Nick's WEW choice. We've got Omega with the midget beating.
Okay, by the way, did you guys hear about Lita? She's got an endorsement deal going with Pringles.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Once you pop. Yep, that's the one.
You know what, sir? That's a point getting taken away for a bad Lita joke.
There's no such thing, dude.
Yes, you can't. That's bad. There's a point taken away, sir. Alright. Alright. DL, come on.
Here we go again.
I'm gonna go with, this attaches to Mike Adamly, the championship scramble. That was a bad decision.
Championship scramble?
Yeah.
I am going to say, the worst match of the year. And I agree with Omega and say the senseless midget beating. The senseless midget beating was just the senseless midget beating. All right, now here we
actually,
go.
Guys, I just came up with the actual match that I thought was worse. Sorry. It was from Raw. It was Mickey James and somebody versus Layla and the chick who sings, well, can't
Jillian.
Sing. Jillian Hall.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay.
It's more about showing off Layla's and Mickey's ass crack than wrestling.
All right. Worst
I'm not
wrestler
taking
of
away from their asses, but it's not about wrestling.
Worst wrestler of 2008.
This is tough.
There's so many candidates.
I've got mine right off the bat.
Shoot.
Beth Phoenix.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, I can do one worse.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm an exhibitionist, but I can't take off my own damn bra. Kelly Kelly.
Kelly Kelly.
The girl's so dumb, she forgot her own name and wrote it twice.
TL.
Well, she got confused because it was one of those last name first, then first name. She just put down same thing.
All right, worst wrestler of the year. I'm going to have to go with... I'm going to have to go with Edge.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right. Nick?
I got written down here Candice Michelle. That's what I thought. But I'm actually going to change it to Vladimir Kozlov.
Ooh,
okay.
Just because the guy shits me. He claims to be from Russian Sambo background, yet I did a one fucking day course in the shit. Nothing like what he does. Nothing at all.
Okay. All right. We got two topics to end the show on real quick. This is the last one, and then I gotta get into something real quick.
Alright.
The LVW. The least
valuable
wrestler. of 2008.
Oh.
Brass Eyes vote goes to Mark Henry. I'm going to give mine to the great Colin.
Oh, I know mine.
Okay, go ahead.
Colin Delaney.
Wow.
TL?
I'm going to actually go with the Big Show.
The Big Show? All right.
Yeah.
And Nick?
Henry. Definitely Henry.
And Mark Henry. All right. Now, we got a minute left. Omega, why don't you do us the JSK-like favor and run down the chat room for us?
Oh, I get to be JSK tonight, all right?
Yes.
From the top of the room, we got Brass Eye, Omega, that's me, Rockin' Socks, Spug, that's you, Amy One, DL Havoc, Fans for Life, JJ Sexay, Nick WTR, Wrestling... Wrestling Fanatic, R-O-W-E-W-W-E, Rao,
Simranjit,
Rao WWE, Simranjit, it wouldn't be like JSK if I didn't screw one up, Stockett, Tony O, and Y2 Jericho.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Catch us again January 11th, 10 p.m. Eastern, live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And don't forget to tune into all the other wonderful programming live on the network. You got TK's Tirade Tuesdays at 8, Fire and Ice Wednesdays, Across the Field, Off the Cuff British Edition, and Otaku Talk Live on Thursdays, Off the Cuff American Edition on Fridays, and Cigarette Butts and Bandanas Midnight on Saturdays. And, of course, the return of Wrestle Talk Radio live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Before we get out of here...
Hold on, Spock. Can I get something in real quick?
Sure.
Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, the show where a guy can get a .33 on a breathalyzer and still provide an entertaining program. Tune into the archive. You can hear all about that.
Nice. Because Rock and I, before the show, couldn't find lists that matched up, I kept finding like 9 different lists for this. I was going to read off the names, but I can't find the complete list, I guess. So we are going to play the 10 Bell Salute for all of those that have passed away within the wrestling industry this year. And then we will we'll just go out into the outro to that. So thank you all for listening tonight. Have a good night, everybody. Have a happy new year. And we will catch you on January 11th for the next show. And don't forget to check out the archives and all the other live shows right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. For Omega, Nick, and DL Havoc, I'm the Spud Guy. Catch you next time, everybody.
It's been a pleasure.
Former WWE superstar and ECW general manager, Armando Alejandro Estrada.
You are tuned in to the one that innovated it all.
Oh my god!
The evolution of online sports entertainment is back.
The boss is back!
WrestleTalk Radio is back on the air. Join us as we follow all the news and views from the WWE, TNA, and the indie circuit with Spug.
I like your poetry.
I like what you do to babies.
And the Omega Man.
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want. I call the shots.
And now, get ready for WTR.
Politically incorrect.
Damn proud of it.
And you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Live.